When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Junkie is on. The three best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day. The News Junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and Celine.
It's the News Junkie for a Friday, June 18th, 2021. Lots to get to today, from Tropical Storm Claudette to the mob takes aim at Billie Eilish. And a daredevil stunt goes horribly wrong. Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
Aw, yeah.
And hello to you. You can join us on the show today. All you have to do is search for The News Junkie in the App Store right now. It's easy to do. You know, I was checking the messages before the show. I usually do this, but we don't usually get messages from people like this, from names this big. It's actually Tropical Storm Claudette.
Oh, wee wee.
That sent in a message before the show. Let's see what the tropical storm that's on the way said.
Have a great Friday, you mother.
We did it, everybody. We made it through a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday has arrived. As Violet Panther says on Facebook, let's get this show on the road. Here we go. We're gonna stay here, actually, but we're gonna have some fun along the way and enjoy our Friday as we kick off the weekend and do it in style. We do indeed have a tropical storm on the way, but before we get to that and talk about all the other things happening in the world, all the craziness in front of us, let's first put our ears to the ground, our fingers on the pulse. Let's see what's happening in this great big wide world of ours. And we go over to Fox News, where there was an interview between Charles Payne, who's one of their hosts, and he was talking to a reporter about a Supreme Court ruling. You know how every once in a while there's a little bit of a delay problem?
Yeah.
This is a big delay problem. This is maybe the most significant one I've ever seen in my life. And it made it so, so awkward. I've got the video for this, if we could show it, C-Lane. And let's get to the cringe moment that occurred on Fox News.
Now, the city had tried to ban the agency because it excluded same-sex couples. What do you make of the decision?
Well, the First Amendment and religious liberty should be protected in this country.
She's off and running.
There are many plentiful foster homes and foster services around the country that have varying opinions that are not religious-based. And so I think it's really important that we do protect religious liberty in this country, protect the First Amendment, and allow folks to go through their proper agencies to do those adoptions.
Now, I'm going to warn the both of you. It's a little uncomfortable when there's too much silence on this show. This is going to be very, very uncomfortable for all of us.
But we're gonna ride it out?
We're going to have to ride it out. We're going to just swim in it a little bit.
Here to foster children, it's important to have those protections in place for everybody.
One and a two and a three and a four. Look at him looking around. Five and six and seven, eight.
What?
Nine. Ten.
No way.
Listen, listen.
I got you now.
Oh, and two commercials. Like the most abrupt hit the commercial break.
You guys aren't even on a Zoom call.
Somebody
isn't she at a studio?
No, I think she was. I'm not sure where actually she was ringing in from, but that was Nancy Mace from South Carolina, Republican with Charles Payne.
Is it possible that he had no idea how to respond?
He might have, because she just said, No.
I think somebody was talking to him in his ear.
Probably, yeah. That's what confuses things so much. So we do have a big weekend ahead of us. There is a tropical storm in the works here. It's Claudette, and the system is in the Gulf. It's officially a tropical cyclone named Tropical Cyclone 3, but today at some point it will officially become Tropical Storm Claudette.
And it begins.
And then it's going to hit the Gulf Coast and going to be a lot of rain with that. Now, the weird thing is, you were just saying, Sabrina, we're all getting ready for an allergy-filled weekend here, and the dust storm thing from the Sahara Desert is coming over Florida.
That is correct.
If the dust storm meets with a tropical storm, do we get some sort of like tropical dust storm hybrid spin-around thing? Or is it not going to crash like that? This could be like a weird perfect storm situation.
I feel like yes, or it's going to be muddy. Like it's going to be
mud
all
rain?
The sand is going to be moist and dropping onto us.
It'd be like after a volcanic eruption, just like all the black tar, dirt, all that stuff dropping down on us. And hopefully that doesn't happen, but we may see some rain from this. Depending on where you live, it could get a little bit windy and rough. Some of the reports on what the damage is going to be from this are saying it'll just be a wet weekend. Here's Tampa, I believe, talking about what they say we can expect from Tropical Storm Claudette.
And it's moving closer to land. So there's a look at it.
There it is right there in the Gulf.
The L that you see there is where the hurricane center has the center. But
that's where the loser was.
Look at this moisture. And if you notice, it's a big envelope of moisture kind of wrapping around. It really needs to consolidate. There are going to be some little surface spins that are actually moving off towards the west. But the overall is going to be moving off towards the north. I do still think that most of this rain will avoid us. I think a couple of showers
will be good.
By, but if you look down here towards the center, there's just nothing there. You can't call that a depression or a tropical storm and issue warnings.
I can call whatever I want, sir.
Conditions are going to happen.
He's taking his power and he's saying, here's what you're going to do. But Tropical Cyclone 3 turning into Tropical Storm Claudette really does tell us, hey, guess what? We're off and running with the storm season. So everybody out there, make sure you're ready and you're prepared. Don't act surprised when there is finally a hurricane that hits Florida. Be ready. Have your batteries or whatever. I got plenty of extra beefaroni if anybody's in need.
Nice.
Got ravioli for days in cans.
How much do you have, actually?
I'm down to like maybe 15 cans or something. Get close to that. Maybe 12 cans. That could last me a long time. I'll eat that sucker right out the can, too.
Oh, absolutely.
No microwave, no stovetop. Crack the can open. You dig in, you get a cold ravioli, and you put it in your mouth.
Man, I'll tell you what, though. I saw this thing on TikTok. Mm-hmm. This woman's like, this is a camping hack thing I got on Amazon, part 47. And she put it right in the cigarette lighter of her car, and it's just this metal loop. And she put it right into her coffee, and boom, the water was boiling.
What? Is it real?
Yeah, it's real. I guess truckers use it.
It also sounds kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
But I kind of love the idea of it. I'm going to burn myself severely, but I can get a, you know, hot beefaroni.
It sounds like a smaller version of the device that Kevin McAllister used to superheat the doorknob.
Right, yeah, in Home Alone.
In Home Alone. What was that device supposed to
no
be
idea.
For?
No idea. Something that probably Northerners
have. Her mommy and
have.
Daddy in the bedroom.
Like melt snow or something?
One thing that used to be super dangerous like that in cars that I don't think they do anymore is the car lighters. Do you remember the car lighters?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And you would, I had one car that was so dangerous. And back then I would smoke in my car, right? So if I didn't have my lighter, I'd push in that car lighter. And it didn't work the first time. So I'd have to push it in again. And then it would be glowing red hot.
Yep.
But it would eject straight out of the socket.
And you have to catch it?
Like bouncing around.
And then you are also still driving 75 miles an hour trying to light the cigarette with something so hot that it would burn you right to the bone,
it's
I'm
like
sure.
Glowing orange in your face, and you go, you know what? Probably a good
when
idea.
When you're saying it would eject, like yours would shoot out.
It would shoot out.
It's just supposed to kind of pop out.
I know.
And not shoot out.
But mine was broken for some reason. A lot of them had that problem.
Mine was the opposite. It would not pop out. So then all of a sudden I'd be driving. Oh, yeah. It's been sitting in there for 4 minutes, just cooking, ready for some beefaroni.
Those were dangerous. That was a bad idea, whoever came up with that. But
I mean,
Einstein.
I understand why. First of all, that was like the beginning of powering stuff in your car, was that little thing there. And I think the other part of it was windproof.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because if you're driving down the road with your window down and you're going like 50 miles an hour, you still need to be able to do it. Here's your answer. You ask and you shall receive, C-Lane. Kimbo, I think, over on Facebook sends over, I finally figured out what the heck that thing was Kevin used in Home Alone to heat up the doorknob. There's an actual article with the exact answer to the question that you had here. And the red hot thing that he uses on the front doorknob, this person wrote, it's like an entire BuzzFeed article about this. It's called an electric charcoal starter.
Okay.
And it's designed to like quickly heat up stuff.
Interesting.
And that's what he used there. All this stuff is so dangerous that they don't do it anymore, by the way. It's just like we've decided, hey, this was really not smart of us.
I didn't really realize you needed some sort of device to start charcoal.
I always put lighter fluid on.
Yeah, it was
much as possible.
Yeah,
all the time.
Maybe just inside
that, or you just use like the charcoal that's already got the lighter fluid kind of baked into it.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got so many things.
Look at all this outdoorsy talk.
I know. I'm already out of my depth. We got so many things to get into today, and we hope to hear from you with your first dispatches. You join us here on the show no matter where you are. Maybe you're down in West Palm Beach on Real Radio 92.1 and 101.7. Maybe you're here in Orlando. Maybe you are abroad. Who knows where you are? Lots of people listening today, and we appreciate all you. We hope to hear from you.
I'm sorry, real quick, speaking of getting into things, C-Lane, were you able to get into...
No, no. He was supposed to join the show before us here in Orlando, and he had his... He had his beer ready to go.
I saw it. It was ice cold and crisp.
They do a segment called
Excitement in Your Eyes.
It was warm and dusty.
He looks sad with it. They have a segment called Beer of the Week, and C-Lane joins him, and he brings his own beer in, but he's not drinking right now.
So you got special beer.
He had a sad little non-alcoholic beer.
I had a Beck's N.A.
Now you're not even drinking it.
And then what happened?
Why would I drink it?
Why would you drink it for the segment? You could just drink on your McDonald's soda, whatever you got.
That's
going
not. It's not McDonald's soda of the week.
Well, do you want to do like a quick one and we'll never do it again?
No, I'm good.
It's beer of the week on the News Junkie. And C-Lane's gonna drink a beer.
We need to come up with a better theme song, but it's
okay,
a start.
That was off the top. That was the demo. I need some instruments.
I'll go get the funnel, and we'll see how fast you can funnel an NA beer.
No.
I'll do a chug off with you of the NA beer.
Chad is
I'll forfeit.
Listening on Facebook from Argentina. Cheers back to you, Chad. Some crazy news out of Arizona, and there was like a 90-minute long, an hour and a half shooting spree in this town in Arizona. Place called West Valley. It's about 20 miles northwest of downtown Phoenix. And 12:30 yesterday, there was like 9 different scenes, I think, where this person opened up fire. And we have some of the press conference here. I don't know exactly what happened. So let's listen in and see what the police department says.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Just want to make sure everybody can hear. Mic checks, everybody good?
Mic check 1, 2.
Yes. All right. My name is Sergeant Brandon Sheffert, Brandon, last name Sheffert. Unfortunately, we're here today to talk about some significant incidents that have happened throughout the West Valley, starting earlier this morning. At about 11:10, Peoria PD received a call of a vehicle that had been shot by another vehicle, the occupants of another vehicle, at about 11:10 in the area of 103rd and Northern.
I think you didn't even know
from
these
there
people.
On, what we've realized is that same suspect vehicle, which has been identified as a white SUV, was involved in at least 8 other incidents at this time.
Jeez,
so
9.
That's 8 separate incidents. That doesn't talk about the people involved. So, and remember, all this information we're giving you right now is preliminary. This is an extremely complex investigation because it involves multiple jurisdictions. And so we'll be updating that as it goes on and as we get more information.
So they said in total there was 9 different shooting scenes. It went on for 90 minutes. One person dead, at least 13 others injured. At least 4 of the victims were shot, and others were either injured by shrapnel or car accidents. So, like, wow. This person shot at them, and they didn't get shot. But as you can imagine, somebody shoots at you, and you get scared, and you end up in a car accident related to all of this. So they're looking into exactly what happened and piecing together a very complex investigation, as you can hear. We have a lot to open up, and next we'll get into this daredevil who is getting ready for a world record practice jump, and then something absolutely shocking happened. The details on this, including the footage, coming up in just a bit, so don't miss anything today. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The home of real talk and a sweet macrame bathing suit.
Dude, that's a plant holder.
Yeah, it is. Real Radio.
I love that Mortgage Guy Don, and let me sing the ways. One of the many reasons why I love that Mortgage Guy Don from HomeLoansRadio.com is the fact that I can hear him every Saturday morning right here on Real Radio 104.1 and every Sunday morning on Real Radio 92.1 and 101.7 on the Home Loans Radio Show. That Mortgage Guy Don and his crew, they pull back the curtain on the mortgage business. They answer your questions live. He wants you to know how it works because he's an expert, but he's also part of the Real Radio family. And if you're making big decisions like refinancing, buying your first home, debt consolidation, You want to use someone that you could trust, someone that has your best interest in mind. So go to homeloansradio.com and start the process. You can see once you're there, it is chock full of information for you, whatever your level of engagement. It has guides on how to get pre-approved. It has all the past episodes of the Home Loans Radio show. It has direct access to that mortgage guy, Don, and so much more. Or click apply now and get a free quote from Don, typically the same day. So what are you waiting for? Get the help you deserve by going to homeloansradio.com.
Better than fist fighting a robust cosmic behemoth that's infinitely more skilled than you in multiple forms of hand-to-hand combat? Anything like us. On your smart speaker, just say, hey, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio. And leave the Colossus.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is the News Junkie.
There is such a thing as too much fun. Look, I'm all for partying, but this is absolutely insane what happened in San Jose, California this week. You're not going to believe the details of this. We've all gone out, I'm sure, from time to time, had a couple too many drinks. Hopefully you make smart decisions after that. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you don't. I've made mistakes in my life. I've woken up many times with my car in the front yard and gone, woo-hoo, did not remember driving home.
And were you sleeping with your clothes on?
I was. I was doing everything in the lit song, every single thing that they laid out there. And I realized at some point, this is really stupid. This is a bad idea.
And haven't done it, you know, many, many years. But back in the day, you thought you were invincible.
Yeah.
I thought same thing. I remember looking out and I was like, okay, I did get home. That's great. Sabrina, never do that again. Go to get in my car afterwards, and I had parked half of it on the curb.
Oh, yes, I've done this.
Beautiful, straight parking job, but half the car was on a curb.
Some people are really, really bad at this, Sabrina, and we all have a friend that maybe has done this.
That was 20 years ago, by the way, for any law enforcement listening.
Well, they people will drink, and then they're like, I'm fine, and you're like, I know you're not fine, man. You sound really, really drunk, and you're a danger to everybody else.
If everyone around you is screaming for you to give them your keys, then that should be a sign.
And but that person is always the one that's like, nope.
It's my car. I'm sleeping in my bed. I'm going to throw up in my own shirt.
And then you'll go, hey, you're talking. You're slurring all over the place. I'm not slurring nothing. You got to be careful. C-Lane's very, very careful about this. He's particularly aware of if you have a couple of drinks, you don't drive your car. You don't do this stuff.
I was taking cabs long before Uber was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was a frequent passenger.
Your life is easier these days. Much easier.
Except, you know, when Uber's being all
surging
post-pandemic crazy.
Well, in San Jose, listen to what this guy's day went like. A man charged with barreling his pickup truck into a San Jose bar, right? This guy, Alex Moreno. He's 32 years old, and he was charged with gross vehicular manslaughter. So not even just vehicular manslaughter, but gross vehicular manslaughter. Moreno was asked to leave the Agave Sports Bar and Grill because he appeared drunk. So they're like, dude, you've had too much. We need you to clear out of here.
Agave, homie.
Yeah. Make your way out, please. Now, I'm sure they didn't say get in your car and drive. They said get out of here. Call an Uber, please. So he appeared drunk. He was reportedly seen openly and brazenly using cocaine.
Okay.
In the bar. And he was trying to remove a woman's top.
All right.
His girlfriend or somebody is with him.
Checking off a lot of boxes here.
So he's doing cocaine, he's drunk, and he's trying to fool around with his girlfriend, I believe.
Well, I mean, to be fair to this gentleman, you can't do the cocaine off of certain parts of the girl without removing her top.
Okay, wow. You have not tried.
Well, I guess Agave Sports Bar and Grill has some rule against this stuff. So they said, get the hell out of here. Witnesses and others said Moreno and a 24-year-old woman walked from the bar to a parking lot a short distance away and got into Moreno's, not only his pickup truck, his work pickup truck.
Good move, good move.
Well, he's lost his job, clearly. The woman told investigators she began performing oral sex on Moreno and did not realize the truck was moving.
Oh,
but it was. The truck wasn't only moving, it was moving in reverse and went as fast as 45 miles per hour through the parking lot.
What?
When it rammed through outdoor tables and hit a group of three people and pinned them directly against the side of the restaurant.
Oh, my God.
One of the women, Diana Chacon, 35 years old, died at a hospital. And the men are expected to survive, but their legs are, like, shredded, just completely smashed up from this truck pinning them against the wall.
What was going on here? Like, he went to reverse and immediately things had begun?
I guess
so. And so you slam on the gas in reverse.
This guy's so effed up. He has no idea what's going on.
I mean, maybe
that's awful.
Maybe it was such an intense performance on the girl's part.
He just hit the gas.
Like, I would go ahead and kind of review that timeline before you start. You should probably not be in the car.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't
be sarcastic about it because a woman died and those guys' legs don't work anymore.
That's so unfortunate, man. And this is just all avoided by you getting your dumb drunk ass in an Uber. Jump in an Uber and you'll end up pinning people to the wall. And this guy is now probably going to spend the rest of his life behind bars, or at least a little while. I mean, I don't know what the enhanced charge on aggravated vehicular manslaughter or whatever that is, but I'm sure he'll be behind bars for a while. Before we get to your dispatches from the News Junkie app, this was such a crazy story here, but there is a daredevil out there, and I don't know the names of all the daredevils anymore. I used to know Evil Knievel and a couple other people that would be doing stunts and stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, are they still called daredevils? The like the Jackass crew and the Nitrous Circus.
Yeah, I would think so.
So we know them. Travis Pastrana. Pastrami.
No, not Pastrami.
Travis Pasquale.
Travis Pastrana is definitely a daredevil.
Are the Willendas considered daredevils?
Yes,
or just
100%. Yeah, they're the high wire act people.
That's the extent of the daredevil.
I wouldn't even have remembered the two of them, but yes, you're exactly right. Those are the two big names out there. But I guess other people knew this guy, and his name's Alex Harville, and he was trying to break the world record, and he had all his ramps set up and all this stuff, and he was practicing at Grant County International Airport in Washington the state. 28-year-old dude, and he's trying to break the distance record for longest motorcycle jump, which was set by Robbie Madison in 2008. He was trying to jump 351 feet.
Whoa.
Which is longer than a football field. Quite a distance to go. And they actually caught some footage of this, if you want to take a look here. Now, it's not graphic. It's from far away, but let's show everybody, C-Lane, what this ended up looking like, because he came a little short.
Oh, they did the... Excuse me?
I'm not sure why they put a beatbox over it, but here he goes. He goes off the ramp, and then, oof, right into the place he was supposed to land.
And that was the practice.
Yeah, in one of the practice jumps. He ended up running into it instead of landing on it, as he was originally obviously supposed to do. There he goes, and then, no, doesn't quite make it, and flipped out. The guy who was filming it immediately put down the camera, obviously. They tried to help him out. The ambulance came out, and they later confirmed that he had passed away at 28 years old.
Fatality.
Let's go to some of your dispatches from the News Junkie app. Here is I'm a PC with a dispatch.
So I'm originally from Ohio, and when I came down to Florida, I had a friend ask if I wanted to funnel a beer, and I was really confused.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a north-south thing where north is called a beer bong and south is called funneling a beer. So just thought I'd let you guys know that.
Beer bong up north, funneling beer down south.
Yeah.
I've heard of both.
Yeah, I never called it funneling growing up.
We started to call it funnel after we had another type of bong in the same room.
Yeah,
so people don't want to get confused.
When you say get the bong, you want to know exactly what this person's supposed to get.
Also, when my friends and I made our first beer bong, it was not out of a funnel. We thought, that was just child's play. So we made one out of a gas can.
Oh, great. Was this a previously used gas can?
Hell no.
Okay.
That's stupid.
I was going to say.
No, we went to Costco. We bought a plastic brand new gas can and some tubing.
Mm-hmm.
And just cut the bottom off and you know,
party
works just the same. Yeah. My dad was so cheap, he would reuse the gas cans for stuff, including, like, you know, when the hurricanes would come, we had three gas cans in the garage. And my dad would go to the Publix, that same Publix where that shooting was recently.
Royal Palm.
On Royal Palm Beach Boulevard in Okeechobee, there in West Palm Beach.
Palm, 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 palm.
So my dad would go there and he'd bring the three gas cans. And one of the gas cans he would put to the side. He'd fill the other two up with the cheapest gas so that we could run a generator or whatever we needed to if the power did go out, so we were all prepared. The third gas can, he would take and wash it out with a hose. And then there was this, like, machine where you could put a bottle up to it, a 5-gallon bottle, and it would fill it up with drinking water for you.
Right.
So we had two of the gas cans were gas and one was water, and they were all kind of used interchangeably. So
interesting.
A lot of leftover gas ends up in that water. And he sat them right next to each other, which I always thought was a bad idea.
No, like, at least marker or a label that said this is water.
No, and they were
just
all
until you took a big sip.
He bought all three of them at the same time, and they looked all exactly the same. There was nothing to indicate which one was water. He would literally screw off the cap and put his nose up to it.
Oh, okay.
To try to smell which one was the water one.
I can relate a little bit to this story, I guess, with Father's Day this weekend. You witnessed your father as he prepared for the hurricane.
Yeah.
I got to witness my father after a year that we didn't, I guess, prepare as much as we should have. And we had to go to the work van and siphon gas.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to watch my father deep throat a hose and teach me how to do that.
Yeah, I've seen some people do that like it's nothing. And then if you try, you're like, oh, my God, your entire mouth gets full of gasoline.
Sabrina, you're not supposed to drink it. I'm like, it's delicious.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Here's Beware with a dispatch.
Hey, junkies.
Hey.
If I ain't mistaken, that thing you're talking about on Home Alone.
Oh, good God.
To heat up the door handle. That is a coal starter.
It is.
I have one for my big green egg.
Cool.
And I get them coals.
See, Lane, you had to ask that question.
These big green egg people think they're so cool.
See, Lane goes, what was that thing that Macaulay Culkin used in Home Alone to heat up the doorknob? And like 20 dispatches
come
in. Everybody's like, I got it. I know what it is. Let me tell you, we already solved the problem. We already figured it out. Let's see here. There's a couple good ones I want to get into, but we'll save those for just a bit from now. Right now, here's the Uber Bubba.
Junkies.
Hey.
Happy Friday to you.
Saturday, Sunday.
Unfortunately for me, it's not that happy. I got muzzled randomly.
You did.
On Wednesday for reasons that I have yet to understand. I would fall on your mercy to please unmuzzle me and allow me to live my life.
Okay.
I promise to never upset the junkie gods again.
Oh, even cut off there. That wasn't me. Hands off. Well, what do you say, Sabrina Steeline? Should Uber Bubba be unmuzzled? Should he be freed back to get his word out there?
I think he just was.
Sorry, buddy. Back with the muzzle on. No more dispatches for 24 hours? 72 hours, sir. That means there's room for you, so download the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store now. When we come back, there is yet another place that is doing one of these big giveaways for people who are vaccinated, but this one I like a whole lot more because of something that comes along with it. What is it? That's coming up next. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
104.1
Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is The News Junkie.
We'll never get free. Man to the slaughter. What you gonna do when there's blood in the water? The price of your greed, your son and your daughter. What you gonna do?
Get to your dispatches from the News Junkie app in just a moment. Yes, you can join the show. It couldn't be easier. As we roll into this weekend, all you have to do is search for The News Junkie in the App Store. All of these states have done interesting things, or lots of states, I should say, have done interesting things to try to encourage more people to get vaccinated, including lotteries, millions of dollars, strippers, bottles of booze, on and on and on it goes.
Name the most important one.
Marijuana.
Marijuana? Oh, joints, yeah, there was joints for jabs. Am I missing one? What else was there? Because there's been a whole lot of these. Oh,
the weather radio.
The one in the state of Florida where they said, get your vaccine and we'll give you a weather radio.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, awesome. So you've got all of these different options out there. But this one, for some reason, grabbed my attention, and I think it's because this guy has a sidekick when he's doing his announcement. His name is Governor Jim Justice, and already...
Damn right it is.
It's a pretty solid name there, Mr. Justice. The state is marking the annual West Virginia Day, and that celebrates the state's admission into the Union, and they wanted to do a giveaway for vaccinated residents. So they said, we got all kinds of prizes, yada, yada, yada. They also said, we're ending the mask mandate in West Virginia. So people were like, yeah, all right, good, celebrating. And this guy, while he was telling people, you could win up to $1 million cash, you could win custom outfitted trucks, 25 weekend giveaways to state parks, lifetime hunting and fishing licenses,
nice,
hunting rifles and shotguns, and for participants 12 to 25 years old, 2 full scholarships to any public institution in West Virginia. So a lot of money, a lot of good stuff, all that. I just loved that when Governor Jim Justice was doing his announcement, look who is sitting beside him in the chair.
He's
got a little bud with him there, and it's a bulldog who is like his sidekick. And he says, don't do it for me. Do it for the bulldog. And he made him part of the announcement. Let's see. Let's watch this together here.
Like I said, we're going to be giving away hunting rifles, and we're going to give away, you know, hunting shotguns and weekend getaways at our state parks and lifetime, hunting and fishing license.
This guy's folksy.
You know, scholarships. We're going to give away trucks. We're going to give away a lot of neat stuff. And
neat
everything.
Stuff.
And it's all in an effort to get more and more and more of our folks vaccinated.
Well, he said, don't do it for me. Like, do it for my little buddy here. His, I don't have the nickname of the dog in this story that I'm looking at.
All right, what's the governor's name?
The governor's name is Jim Justice.
Of course.
And the bulldog's got a name. And I guess the bulldog kind of hangs out with him. It perfectly sits in this chair.
Baby dog.
Oh, man. Yeah. Just there.
He said, don't do it for me. Do it for baby dog.
That is not a baby.
That's a big dog.
That's just
huh?
my baby dog.
Jabba the Hutt.
They're so cute, those dogs, those big bulldogs. I don't think they last long, though, so that would be a tough one. Anytime you have a dog like that, you know.
I think they do. Breeds. Are those the ones that,
I don't know.
They go on the skateboard naturally?
They do, and that's really cool when you can get them to do it, but I think they only live for like 5 years.
Yeah, it's the breathing they don't do so naturally.
Yeah, right, because they're only cute if their face is all smashed together, so we breed them until they can barely breathe and just eke by. But do it for baby dog, or what was it, baby?
Baby dog.
Baby dog, do it for him.
Baby dog.
We don't get $1 million. You get that song that C-Lane and Sabrina just sang for you. A weather radio and a jam. That's all you need in life. There is a story out today that I saw, and I said, I thought this was the case a long, long time ago. But maybe I'm one of these early adopters here.
It's kind of like when Florida banned bestiality.
What?
When did they do that?
Yeah, right.
Says Sean. Excuse me?
Whenever they do that with those laws, you go, hold on.
That's been legal till now?
So some creepo could have been doing X, Y, and Z this whole time?
Are there not states that still have not?
I think there might be.
Is it not
one.
A federal crime at this point?
It should be.
If you do it at a post office.
Yeah.
After 9/11.
Very particular. So I thought this was the case for a long time, but Nielsen, who is the company that does all of these ratings and stuff for TV and radio, et cetera, they are now saying for the first time that streaming has surpassed broadcast TV. And when I saw the story, I said, just now this happened that streaming surpassed broadcast TV? I thought this happened a real long time ago. And they show the breakdown of what people are actually watching here. And still cable is the dominant way. So most people are still watching through cable television. In the debut report, Nielsen found streaming takes up more than a quarter, 26% in total of all TV consumption, officially surpassing broadcast at 25%. Now, when they say broadcast like that, do they mean like people still watching over-the-air TV?
See, that's the thing. If we're going to pick apart semantics here and you say cable's the number one, well, then it's not broadcast. It's not over-the-air television.
Yeah, you're talking about broadcast channels on cable television, because no way does one out of four people still use an antenna to watch these channels.
Hey.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. Well, that's one out of three then, so.
One out of four people in this house.
Yeah. Definitely use an antenna still to watch, you know, the morning news. And then last week I was watching the Law and Order finale on regular TV. And because it was a different channel than the channel I usually watch, I had to move it around and have Brittany just tell me when to stop and when the signal was clear.
Oh, those were the days. And when you would flip by the channels on your cable TV and they were all scrambled, but every once in a while, the frame would come in.
You'd see a little bit.
You get a little boob.
A booby.
You get some boob action. And you go, all right, that's good enough for the day. They said roughly 39% of TV consumption from people two and up is spent on cable. But I thought this would have been the case a long, long time ago. Of the streamers out there, who do you think is number one? Who do you think is number one for streaming time?
Netflix.
Okay, Netflix.
I'm going to go HBO Max.
Okay, HBO Max. It's a little confusing because they say YouTube is 6%. So again, it's kind of like the same thing, but where they're dicing this up in an odd way. It's YouTube at 6%. And Netflix is, they're tied basically at 6%, the two of them. Hulu is 3%. Amazon Prime Video, surprisingly, 2%, and Disney Plus at 1%. So HBO Max would actually be further down the
line
than
that. The biggest percentage is not even a majority? It's the majority of, or this is the biggest of the streaming, or the biggest of overall consumption?
Of overall consumption.
Okay.
Of total consumption in the U.S. So if there's, you know, 94 people watching something at any moment, 6% of them will be watching stuff that would be on YouTube.
But if you lump all the streaming services together in this pie chart, that would be
25%.
Okay.
Yeah, a little more than it would be when you're talking about broadcasting, and things continue to change at a very fast pace. I think that, you know, Sabrina says she's watching TV over the air, which, you know, is true, but you also have all kinds of apps and stuff where you watch television. And sometimes, you know, the three of us are pretty far ahead on things like that. And you forget, if you ever go over to somebody's house and you see them with like a big cable box and they hit the guide and they're going to the channels, you're like, whoa, I haven't done that in probably 10 years.
Unless you're at a hotel or something. But I remember staying at my friend's house who had the like Xfinity, and I could talk into the remote, something I never in my life thought would happen, and I was channel surfing for the first time in a decade.
Yeah, but when you get on those cable TV channels and you hit the guide, there's like 900 plus channels and you can't find anything. As annoying as it is to have 10 different subscriptions everywhere, I still like the experience so much better.
I mean, I don't mind it with, I don't use the guide often, but YouTube TV has a guide. And
it's pretty damn good, actually.
And you can actually get on your computer and log into your YouTube TV and rearrange the channels how you like them.
Really?
So whatever
channel. Put them in your order.
Yeah. So like for me, Food Network is on top.
Yeah.
Before any of the news, it's the first thing I go to.
You're like, what's my priority here? Okay, this is what I need.
And then we put CNN and Fox News right next to each other because we like to back and forth to watch the same story, but to see how either side is spinning it. it's a fun household thing to do.
I used to do that with a channel on DirecTV, and I forgot what it was called, News Blast or News something. And it has all you put it on there, has all of the news channels, and then you can highlight one of them, and it'll play the audio from that one.
They did that for sports, too, didn't they?
Yeah, they had the same thing for sports going,
too. But
never
for cartoons.
Nope, because I would binge those more than anything, at least, especially late at night.
But I think even some of the cable providers did a similar thing. Like, I think when we had AT&T U-verse.
Excuse me, what? AT&T?
Yeah.
Okay. I just have never heard someone say AT&T.
Yeah.
Interesting. Just get right to the point.
Have you ever been to their website?
Bellsouth.com?
You can't put an ampersand in a website.
I wonder if I can, though.
All right. Let's
try this out. Go to GoDaddy.
And
back when I had American Telephone and Telegraph U-verse, They had like a favorites list.
A nerd flex.
You could like favorite all the channels you wanted, and then only look at your favorite mm-hmm. guide. That was helpful too, to like weed out all the stuff you didn't want.
Well, it's all changing so fast, and if you're older and you're going, oh my god, I still watch through cable TV. Most people under, I would say, 30 don't usually do that by default, I don't think.
Man, I didn't care to watch the cattle auction channel until Imus was on it anyway.
That was a good time. Let's go over to these dispatches from the News Junkie app. I just got to hear him talk about Deidre's tees every once in a while. Here's Von Ripperton with a dispatch.
Anytime I hear the word funnel, all I can think about is that time you guys were talking about the feeder porn thing, feeder fetish, where the girl, I was like, hey, babe. Want a funnel?
I do. This was from way back on the show where there was a story about a guy who his girlfriend was very, very heavy, and she was a super eater and he was like a super feeder.
Yeah, wasn't it part of some TLC show?
I think so.
But we had broken down the episode and their day-to-day routine, which involved him blending her meals. And then funneling it down her throat.
She was trying to get to like 10,000 calories a day as fast as possible so she could get as fat as possible. And he loved it. I mean, it got him horny to think about feeding her. And here's what he said.
All right, babe, you ready to funnel?
I wonder where they are at now.
What a weird life, man. You're like, all right, here we go.
Kitschy little music in the background, too.
All right, babe.
All right, babe, you ready to funnel?
The music says, this is totally normal. What's happening here is totally and completely normal.
I'm engaged.
The music sounds like the background of the line before a circus ride.
Here's Bull Rider with a dispatch.
All right, just to clarify something real quick. If he was at the bar drinking and they asked him to leave and didn't take his keys and he got in trouble and got in an accident, the last bartender that served him at that bar and told him to leave is going to be sued and liable. Just a little kicker there. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Is that how over-serving works? Like, if he all of a sudden is drunk, he's doing cocaine too, by the way, so I don't know if that argument's going to hold any water. He can't prove that it was the drinks and not the cocaine that made him do what he did. This was the guy who
lawyered.
Got kicked out of this bar and then got into the driver's seat of his truck. And a woman got in with him, and she started to perform oral sex on him, and he floored it backwards and pinned three people against the bar. He hit them at like 45 miles an hour. One died. Two of them, their legs are absolutely destroyed because of this accident. And there is some liability in certain situations to people who overserve folks, but I just don't know that this particular situation is going to be one of them. We got many, 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 many dispatches to get to. And also, I want to talk about something when we come back. There is a guy who was in one of these interrogation rooms, right? The police are in there with him. They get him to confess. And then what happens right after that confession is one of the most intense moments I've heard and watched in a long time. And we're going to bring it to you in just a moment. So stay right where you are. That plus your dispatches coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Saving our love and affection for the completely unattainable.
Dear Scarlett Johansson.
Real Radio 104.1.
From the...
Join in on the chaos. We eagerly await your dispatch. This is the News Junkie.
This is the sound that we make. We only exist in the noise that we bring. This is the sound that we make.
One addiction that has grown and grown on me over the years is watching any kind of footage from a police interrogation room. I love it. I don't know why. Like the first 48, or what was the show? There was some show I was watching in Jamaica Mo had told me about in his hotel room, like Court Moments.
Oh, I had watched it with
Court Chaos or
something like that, or On the Stand.
I remember seeing it,
and it was wild.
It was,
and I've never seen a channel like that.
Yeah, it was all this footage of either interrogations or in the courtroom, and something crazy would happen, and there'd be a huge fight, and it was just absolutely insane to watch this. So I'm always, my interest is piqued when I see that there's a story about that. And this one is no different. It's so crazy. There was a guy, well, there is a guy, I should say, named Terrell Rhodes. And this happened in Las Vegas. This guy had just admitted to, embrace yourself, but, you know, this is what he did. He killed his two-year-old child, Amari Nicholson, all right? And I guess, like, punched him or something. And,
oh my God.
And then the police brought him in, and he admitted to doing this. And he even drew them a map. Like, here's where you could find him, all right? So he knew at that point, I'm done for. I admitted to these police what I did. I don't have any chance. I've got a confession. I am going to go to jail, and I'm probably going to go to jail for quite some time. So my life is over. Now, you are, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube or Twitch, you can see this guy, Terrell Rhodes, and he's sitting at the table in this interrogation room. They all look basically the same, and this is no different. It's just a long table. You got a couple other chairs besides his chair in the room. And on the table, there are these loops, and the loops are for if you want to take the suspect and cuff them so you can keep them in place, you can cuff one hand to the loop. And that's what they've done to this guy, right? So we can all see him right here. Here he is. He's got his, like, soda or whatever the police have given him. He just admitted to killing this two-year-old. And as the film rolls, first, he tries to force his hand back through the handcuff to get that handcuff off him. And I can only imagine the pain that's doing as he's, like, trying to pull his hand through there. Then the officers who he just confessed to come back in the room, and you'll see him not only try, but be successful at stealing one of the officer's weapons.
Ooh, that's not a good thing.
It's a bad move.
No, you're not supposed to do this. So watch this, Sabrina Sealand, everybody else, let's watch as this goes down, and you'll see this guy. Okay, right now, he's in the room, and you hear him say, like, you know, I'm done for. I want to get out of here. So he's crying, trying to squeeze his hand out of the cuff. Now, obviously, they're still watching him. So here comes the police. They're about to come back into the room. I can't go back, he says. Brace yourself. It's going to get loud. Okay, this female officer right here, she has a gun on her right side. She has a handgun right here on her right side. Watch how easy he makes this look. He steals her gun. And bam. He's got the gun. They tackle him. They're fighting over the gun right now. She's punching him in the face, the female officer, to try to get this. And he's trying to do God knows what, either shoot himself or shoot all three of the officers. Another officer jumps on, and a fourth. I like at some point this fourth officer is like, you got his hands? You got his hands? No, we don't have his hands.
Man, what a situation.
We don't have this under control
at
all.
So it was like right at the last moment that he was able to get out of the restraint.
Yeah, well, no.
I don't think he ever got out.
No, he didn't. He reached with his other hand and grabbed the gun from this woman's waistband and made it look like it was far too easy to do.
He was going
to
try and one-hand cowboy, one-hand strapped to the thing, arrest, other hand, just shoot.
Yeah, them or him. You know, who knows what he was going for, because he clearly thought this was all over with, and these officers had to do whatever they could. I saw somebody in the comments, and of course this always happens with a story like this. In the comments, somebody goes, I can't believe she was punching him. You got to do whatever you got to do to try to get control in this situation, or she's going to die in that room where this guy was cuffed in. And there's a lot of rules about this. It's kind of confusing as to whether or not they were supposed to have the guns in there, but I think they might have been.
Like, also, is it interesting, though, that he was able to grab the gun? Because I thought with police officers and their...
the holster?
The holster, like, because of how it's positioned, they have to, like, hit up a latch.
So did I. Yeah.
And so the angle that he was coming from, I don't know how he did it so quickly.
Let's watch that real quick again, because watch how fast he was able to grab this from her. And he just reaches across, and those of you listening, with ease, he just grabs the gun and pulls it out. Now he's got the gun. And he was so close to being able to shoot some people in that room. So a lot of questions about whether or not this should be the way things work in these interrogation rooms. The footage is absolutely stunning. And I tell you what, I'll put this up on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. I know it's very visual for those of you who are only able to listen right now, but that's the beauty of the News Junkie app. You'll be able to go back at whatever point you want to, even if you're podcasting this, and you can see the visual that we were watching and discussing there, because it is pretty bananas, and I think you're going to want to check it out. So here it is. Again, search for The News Junkie in the App Store, and I'll put Interrogation Room Chaos, and there it is for you.
Exclamation point.
Oh, I didn't put one in. I already sent it.
Damn it.
It's all ready for you in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app if you want to take a look. Let's go to your dispatches. Those also come through the app. It's a great companion for those of you who listen to the show. And David Loves Judy has sent us a dispatch.
Hey, guys. It's been a while.
Hey.
So I was listening to your little spiel on the cable. I'm going to tell you something, man.
Yeah?
I'm going to give you a little hint. NVIDIA Shield.
NVIDIA Shield,
and you have good high-speed internet, you can cut the cable, cut the streaming, everything.
Cut it off. Wow.
Anything that you want on this NVIDIA Shield, it's absolutely free. The only catch is you can't download anything. If you download it, it's illegal. If you stream it, it's legal.
I've heard that argument before.
Yeah.
This sounds like the guy who posts the YouTube video and goes, I claim no rights. I'm not the copyright holder, and thinks that's the workaround. No.
I'm sure that this kind of thing is available. I just want you to know that I wouldn't go and cut everything just yet, because as long as you could stream it, they are having access to, like, probably so much data and cookies.
Wow.
And
this would be a thing that would be right down C Lane's alley.
I think I told you guys before that I was in a group of friends that I only see once a year, if that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all sitting around a campfire.
Yeah.
And somebody made that same argument where if you're streaming it, totally fine.
That's not true.
But if you download it, that's when it's illegal. And I was like, and then everybody looks at me because I said the words. Because I said the words.
What are you, a cop?
No. I said, would that be the same for child porn?
Oh, buddy. Wow. Whoa. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm not going to go after it.
I'm going to leave it alone.
But that was my way of telling.
I understand.
Telling the person.
Right.
That
I didn't download it.
It's not a great argument.
It's something that somebody said, and everybody around was like, whoa, that's crazy. All right, cool. I won't download. I'll just stream. And you go, oh, okay. That's not how it works.
Now, to his defense, you're probably less likely to get caught, mm-hmm, if you're just streaming versus downloading.
Yeah.
Especially because in some cases, the method of downloading also requires you to upload some stuff as well, and that's where you
sharing
tend,
back and forth.
That's where you tend to get in more trouble, is when you're the one offering the download to other people.
Well, I just wouldn't stick with that as legal advice if you're listening right now. I don't think that's going to work for you in court.
Those of you just tuning in, we're going to change the subject.
Yeah, it's all illegal. Don't worry. It's all illegal. We were talking about earlier in the week, somebody said that, or there was a story that said that 911 call centers were getting flooded. And the reason for this apparently was people who have Apple Watches. And Sabrina has an Apple Watch. And you said you've never had this weird thing where it accidentally ended up dialing or almost dialing 911. But a lot of people, I guess, are running into that.
Yes.
And Dispatch Dan, who works in a 911 call center, he did send in an update about his experience with this. Here he is.
Hey, Sean. So I was catching up on Wednesday's show, and I heard the quick conversation about the Apple Watches. I did a little research in a couple of different groups I'm in on Facebook with a bunch of dispatchers from around the country.
All right.
Apparently, these watches are the bane of police dispatches' existence at this point.
Really?
They every week they get a few dozen of them.
I'm not getting this. How is it so easy to call 911 on your Apple Watch? Is it like there's, if you hit the screen, it
maybe
pops
it's
up
an
like
update,
an emergency?
But I'm not getting like an emergency button here.
Well, because on your phone, if you want to do the emergency call thing, don't you have to hit like both buttons at the same time? Or
I forget because it's changed so many times. But I think it's partially because the Apple Watches are voice activated. So anytime you listen to Somebody Call 911, it's just all the Apple Watch is doing.
I don't think that's it.
Yeah, no, that's how it works.
It's a great hit.
DriftWannabe10 on YouTube says there's a cool trick on the Apple Watch that if it senses a bump or bang, it'll call 911 automatically. Why on earth would you want that? That seems like maybe what's happening.
That's not a cool trick.
That's a bad trick as far as Dispatch Dan is concerned.
And there has been an uptick recently. I don't have an Apple Watch. I don't know if it was a software update, but apparently it happens very easily. People are working out. People are running. Somebody I work with, hers went off when she was working out because her heart rate was up higher than normal.
What?
Apparently the fix is just to turn off the SOS feature from your phone. But yeah, there's quite a few dispatchers out there that say they absolutely hate the Apple Watch. Some of them want to set them on fire. there's a lot of violence towards Apple Watches because of this. So, here, to answer the question.
Thank you.
A good one. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Try this out, Sabrina. The same guy that said the bumper bang says slap your watch.
All right. So if you slap it.
I don't want it. I feel like that's just something that'll make me look stupid.
It sounds like what Dispatch Dan was saying.
No.
Nothing?
Slap it harder.
It tells me to breathe.
Really? What if you hit it again?
I don't want to slap my watch anymore.
It's not doing
anything?
What
if I shake it?
No, don't shake it like that. Don't.
Just the faster I shake it.
Look what that looks like.
Yeah, no.
I know you were doing it on purpose.
I have the first generation. I don't truly what the message is. Stop slapping the watch and upgrade, Sabrina.
You're right. The first generation Apple Watch didn't want to save your life. It just wanted to take your money.
Oh, let's go broader in our test here. Everybody who has an Apple Watch.
Why are you coming at my Apple products, bro?
Slap your Apple Watch. Just on the count of three, everybody slap your Apple Watch.
Slap a watch.
And then report back. Ready? One, two, slap your Apple Watch. All right, now report back to us with your dispatcher and chat or something.
Yeah, as soon as you're done talking to 911.
Tell us how it goes. Here's Angry Dustall with the dispatch.
Hey, junkies.
Hey.
I live in BFE, North Carolina, and the only way I can stream stuff is like at 2 o'clock in the morning because it sucks up here. I miss my AT&T U-verse. You guys have a great day. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Thank you. We always forget about people who live way off the grid a little bit or like not in a major metropolitan area. We always think everybody has super high speed, reliable internet, and it's just not the case for so many people. There's still people who use DirecTV to get internet because there's no provider where they're at, so they do satellite internet.
Well, they got that Elon Musk internet now, right?
Yeah, which barely works and, as I recall, is really expensive. And there's a lot of bad advice going around because Potted Meat on YouTube says 15 seconds in a microwave will reset it. No, don't do that. don't try that out.
No, yeah, unplug it, plug it back in, and then unplug it again and call customer service.
Never, ever, ever put your phone into your watch in a microwave, but because people were doing that.
Why the hell would people do that?
Because they're so dumb. And one of the new iPhones came out, somebody did a fake commercial. It looked just like Apple had made it. And it was like, the brand new feature that nobody's talking about is you can supercharge your iPhone. Charge it in just seconds. So place your iPhone in the microwave. And they even worded it like, it harnesses the power of your microwave technology to supercharge the battery in minutes. And then you see all these idiots putting their $1,000 iPhones right in the microwave and blowing them up one after another after another. And I'm sure Apple liked it because everybody went running back to purchase the second iPhone right after that. But it wasn't actually from them.
Uh-oh.
Is this 911?
Nope. I'm just going to throw it in the microwave.
Not going to work for you. Not going to work out well. We're waiting for your dispatch in just a bit. When we come back, we've got, there's a new technology out there I want to tell everybody about, and it really, truly does weird me out. We'll discuss that next, plus we'll have more of you, and a frightening moment on an airplane. All this and so much more is coming up in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Oh, hi. You need something?
Say it. Real Radio.
Listen up, my friends. The mortgage rates are back down to record lows. So if you have a mortgage right now and you have a 4 or 5 in front of your interest rate percentage and you're not getting a free quote from homeloansradio.com and that mortgage guy, Don, well, you clearly don't like your money. So here are some super helpful tips on what to do with your money since you hate it so much. Go out to your yard and light it on fire. For a fun twist, go to your neighbor's yard and light it on fire. Stuff it in a garbage disposal. How about leave a fat stack on the roof of your car and go to your favorite highway and drive the speed limit. Put in a wood chipper. Use it to roll and smoke your favorite legal herb. How about keep paying rent when you could buy a house for the same payment? Or go to homeloansradio.com. I mean, it's that simple. Go to homeloansradio.com and start working with that mortgage guy, Don. He's the man. He's the expert you hear every Saturday and Sunday morning on Real Radio, and he's the person that's going to help you make the plan to get there. Whether you're refinancing or buying your first home, this is the person you want to work with. So get answers, get started, and get the help you deserve by going to homeloansradio.com.
From
they're best friends, unless they're fighting. Are they fighting? It's the News Junkie.
You know, one of the things that goes unsaid too much is how much things have changed in the world of food. It's pretty crazy to me. I mean, think about this. Not that long ago, we didn't have any of these really great or popular beef alternatives. And like when you go now you could go to Burger King, go to 10 different places. Almost every place has one of these fake meats, like Beyond Meats.
Impossible Meat.
Yeah, the Impossible Burger. What's the other one, C-Lane? Isn't there another brand out
Tofu.
There? Well, no, I'm talking about the ones that are like simulated beef. And then they got into the world of chicken. And they're like, all right, let's try to make a chicken without an egg. And so they started to create this stuff at all these labs. And
there's Boca, but I don't think Boca ever tried to be like...
Those have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
The new stuff is pretending to be what it wants to replace. And that always strikes me as weird, right? If I was a vegetarian or a vegan at that, why would I want it to look like I was eating the thing that I detested? If I'm a vegan... I'm like, I don't want to eat a bacon cheeseburger, but give me something that looks exactly like a bacon cheeseburger with no animals in it. I'm sure there's some vegans that are like, I don't want it to resemble that kind of food.
I would imagine that there are, especially very passionate vegans. I will say that there are probably a bunch of them who never thought they would ever, ever, ever eat a burger again and are delighted because it's like, oh my gosh, I can taste it.
Yeah.
And I'm not, it's not affecting any animals. I also feel like there's people who probably had to give up their steak and their hamburgers that could eat Impossible Burgers and not have all the like.
Right. For health reasons. Yeah. Well, actually, they're not that great for you health wise. That's the crazy thing about
it. But is it the same kind of ungreatness that you would find in meat?
I think
or is
in some
it like
cases,
something else?
They might be worse, depending on how you look at it or what you're trying to avoid. And the things that you're eating, because when you look at a Beyond Burger or an Impossible Burger, I think when you see the side-by-side between the Impossible Whopper and the regular Whopper, there's not a giant difference. They're both pretty filled up with a bunch of stuff that's not so great for you. It's just one is made from animal stuff, which is delicious, and the other one is made from non-animal stuff, which is pretending to be delicious. But if people dig it, whatever. Like it's a cool shift that's going on out there, and the more the merrier. And more options to me are always good. Let the marketplace decide if enough people care about this stuff. But I'd never seen anything like this. Maybe you guys have. Maybe I'm just slow on the uptake here on this one. But there's a restaurant. They've talked about them before, but I've never actually seen it in action. And it's called Crux. All right, Crux is a restaurant in Australia. Take a look at this. This is the real deal. This is at Crux. That's not a real egg. That is a vegan egg yolk that they now have done.
How do they put it inside the shell?
It goes exactly the same way on top of a Benedict that anything else would. And look, when you cut it, it actually pops and yolk comes out and it gives you the same exact experience. These people are like science lab technicians coming up with food now. And you could probably... I would say within 5 years, maybe even now, if you had a really talented, skilled chef, you could sit down and eat a meal, and afterwards they would go, all that was vegan. All of that was fake. Like, that egg wasn't real, that meat wasn't real, that chicken wasn't real.
The rest of it was dog food.
And then here's the small problem. Your bill is $5,842.
Yeah. So that's a thing that I'm not completely sure on, I guess very confused by, is when it comes to these... meats in this production. Like, yes, you are inventing it. Why is it so expensive? Because
it's not efficient yet. It's not at the scale of the poultry industry or the beef industry.
Does it take a very long time, or the materials involved are very expensive, or it's just this is going to be a kind of a monopoly thing?
Think about it this way. Like, when you are a company like Impossible and you're making the Impossible Burger, now they have a lot more power, probably, because they're working with Burger King and selling a lot more, so they buy a lot more and they make a lot more, and the price per unit ends up going down a little bit, and they're generating some income. But if you're not purchasing enough, and you're good luck purchasing as much as the Tyson chicken or something. I mean, Tyson chicken runs the chicken industry like nobody else runs anything. Mm-hmm. It's domination. It runs the chicken industry, the poultry industry, more powerfully than Amazon runs online purchasing. It's that dominant. And these companies are out there, some good, some bad. You know, I think you can make lots of interesting arguments. I don't think a vegan is completely right in their argument, and I don't think somebody who's like, I never want to eat that stuff, is right. I think there's a mix of the two that is probably the most coherent argument, but I've never seen anything like this, and it's actually an egg that pops. But
I want to try it.
I would try it. I totally would. I mean, would you try it, C-Lane?
Oh, yeah,
so absolutely. We all would try it, but would now.
We wanted to try that damn fake egg that they're selling at the store now, but when they had just announced it, I remember reaching out to the company to try and get them to send us some, and they're
it's called yolks with an X or something.
It was like just egg.
Just egg.
Oh, I remember that.
And the guy wanted to like bring in a chef and have him make something. I was like, come on, just send me a bottle of the egg. And
all right. So you said you would try it, Sabrina. I would try it. Seemingly would try it. Everybody, think in your head right now, would you try this out? It's for egg hollandaise or whatever you want to say. It is a fake egg, vegan egg.
Is it FDA approved?
It's in Australia, so they got their own thing going on.
Oh, the FDA.
But would you now try it if it was $20? If it was $20, would you still be interested in trying this?
I had to pay the $20?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I feel like the $20 could go towards something, more. But for the sake of trying it, I guess I would.
I
feel awful about it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I was looking at it the whole time, like they were going to send us an egg.
Oh, no.
We'll try a little bite of it.
Well, of course everybody would do that. But would you then, if everything's more expensive, go for it? That's the problem that you end up with these situations. I'm trying to find the menu for this place so I could see what they charge for one of these. I bet it's like really, really steep because it's pretty special, and it probably takes a lot of effort to make it the way they did. I'm bringing up their TripAdvisor, but this is all over the place today in the news. A video posted by the Australian restaurant Crux on TikTok shows something you'd expect from any influencer filming their Sunday brunch. A knife slowly breaks an egg blanketed in hollandaise, and any good Eggs Benedict is, until it has golden yolk oozing out. But it's not real. It's not an actual egg, because they've gone further and further with this stuff. So I'll look up the menu. I'm trying to do that while I'm talking here, but we're not going to have enough time to pull this off right now.
I imagine scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine I wonder if you could do, though, like Benedict or poached eggs with something that is so different from a regular egg.
You probably could.
Did that buy you enough time? I don't know anything about cooking eggs.
You don't just have to talk for no reason. I was looking at this. I can still talk.
You don't know anything about cooking eggs?
I mean, I don't venture out. I love me my sunny side, and I'm okay at scrambling.
Yeah,
I do like a good sunny side.
I've got the website up here, but when they see that you're not in Australia, they try to get you over to some sort of like delivery service type thing and hit you up with as expensive as they can. So here it is right here. Breakfast right here. That's I want that special egg.
It's called the Benny, I think.
Is it? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to have to find it during the break, because I'm looking through their whole menu right now, and it's not featured on top or anything. But we'll go to more of your dispatches in just a moment here, as always. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. And when we come back the next episode, what's coming up on the next episode?
What's coming up on the next episode? If loving you and mailing you a diamond ring and emergency contraception is wrong, well, I don't want to be right. Big Boy is giving all of us a chance to sleep in the dungeon and mecha leka hi, mecha hiney, and so much more coming up on the next episode.
Stay right there. We're back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Join in on the chaos. We eagerly await your dispatch. This is the News Junkie.
The next episode in just a moment. All things going on in the world of entertainment and beyond. And we'll wave goodbye to our friends in West Palm Beach on Real Radio 92.1 and 101.7. Real quick, Dispatch Dan texted me personally. He said, the story that's out there about the 911 call centers getting flooded with all these 911 calls and blaming the Apple Watch. He said, the problem is if they press and hold the wheel on the side of the Apple Watch, it starts dialing 911. Or if there's a hard fall, or if the person has an extended high heart rate, all of those different ways and others.
That's definitely the new one.
So, yeah, this is probably the newer technology.
Mine was just Siri saying, how can I help you?
You would think that that would be all optional stuff, not default stuff, though. That's sort of the weird thing about that. And I guess these 911 dispatchers are having a real hard time with it. Just be careful out there if you have one of these Apple Watches. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Let's get into it. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV. And you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
I'm a dog.
Nothing.
Weather's nice.
It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
Rap, rap. I'm a dog, too.
I know. I don't know where that came from or why I was doing that.
That one's old.
Yeah. All right, I'm a dog.
The next episode brought to you by Home Loans Radio and homeloansradio.com. You can tune in Saturday and Sunday mornings on Real Radio, wherever you listen to Real Radio, for the Home Loans Radio show. Go to homeloansradio.com. Work with that mortgage. Okay.
You're the mortgage guy, Don.
Restarting. Work with that mortgage guy, Don, today. He's the best, and he can talk, like, actual words. Complete sentences and help you refinance or buy your first home. HomeLoansRadio.com. 22 years ago, 1999. Time flies when you're
having fun.
Also, having when you're in his heart.
Oh yeah, it's Phil Collins.
And he was singing the soundtrack to
Tarzan.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't think of it. I haven't watched that one too many times.
22 years ago, it was released. Wow. Today, Tarzan hit theaters, Phil Collins and his hits Son of a Man, Strangers Like Me, and my personal favorite. You'll be
here in my heart. Nice.
Speaking of things in my heart, happy Juneteenth and happy Juneteenth weekend. I also want to say he's not in my heart. He's actually in heaven now.
Who's that?
That is John Paragon.
John Paragon?
Passed away. You might know him as John B. the Genie. Or Jan B. the Genie?
I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah, you have.
Really? Oh, and Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yes, he is now a floating head in the sky.
Yeah.
But yes, it was, is it Jan B. or John B.?
Honestly, I only...
Anyone correcting me on the text service?
Vaguely remember this on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
This is kind of sad. The Riverside County Coroner was the one who told TMZ that he died back in April. But at this point,
man.
The cause of death is unclear. I'm going to throw out there, no body part probably didn't help. Any Pee-wee fans are LOLing so hard.
I don't get it.
He was a genie, and it was just his head in the box.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'm also sorry that I said anything. Jambi the Genie or Jambi J the Genie, John's face would appear in the jeweled box whenever Pee-wee Herman wished for something. He was dressed in blue makeup with a red and gold turban. John also voiced... Terry the Pterodactyl?
Yeah.
Okay. On the show. In addition to playing two characters, he wrote several episodes for Playhouse with Paul Reubens, and he also did the Christmas special. He appeared on Seinfeld, acted in movies including The Frog Prince, and Echo Park.
Isn't that super weird that he died in April and they're just now talking about this?
Isn't it weird that it wasn't like a family member or a representative of his estate, but the coroner that had to break the news?
He doesn't have a lot of close people.
May he rest in peace.
His inner circle is really small.
I'm not completely sure if what I'm about to say will allow those that are currently resting in peace to rest in peace any longer. Just want to update everyone. We are now canceling dead people.
All right. We think you've been canceled. Who is it?
So many. I'm actually going to forward the Reddit forum to you guys because that's been, I guess, making its rounds, and now BuzzFeed has taken it and made a whole news article out of it. But they started a Reddit thread that asks which dead celebrities we shouldn't worship because they are, and I quote, garbage human beings, end quote. And the list is some of them I knew, some of them quite surprising. Shall I name the ways?
Yeah, what do you got?
3, 2, 1. David Bowie. Right off the top. He allegedly, regularly, had sex with underage teen girls, and we love to pretend it didn't happen. You remind me of the babe?
What babe?
The babe that I have had sex with, apparently. Prince was also on the list.
Uh-huh.
Number 2. Absolutely awful to work with. There used to be a saying, you're nobody in this industry until you've been fired by Prince. I feel like from number 1, number 2, kind of a big difference. Also, Thomas Edison has been thrown.
Well, that's going way back.
Under the canceled dead person. He stole patents, stomped out competitors with physical force and violence, allegedly electrocuted an elephant to mislead the public that his inferior power grid was less dangerous than Nokia's Teslas. These are all things that
Nikolai Tesla.
Oh, what did I say?
Nokia Tesla.
Is Nokia based on Nikolai by any
no,
chance?
No.
Ah, well, shout out to Nokia. That was the first time they've been mentioned on the radio since 94. Ray Charles, also on this list on Reddit. He made children all over the place and refused to acknowledge them. Hugh Hefner. Henry Ford. You know,
what did Henry Ford do?
Turns out he was an anti-Semitic bigot.
Oh, they all were back then.
Stanley Kubrick, James Brown physically abused his wife. FDR put Japanese Americans into internment camps. John Wayne, white supremacist and homophobic.
Well, guess what? Reddit. When it comes to, who did you just say? The soul singer.
James Brown.
James Brown. When it comes to James Brown, if you're a news anchor trying to grill him on this alleged abuse, you're never going to get an answer out of him.
Because
he just starts singing. He sings Coming to America or whatever. He sings all the songs.
List also includes Christopher Plummer, Rick James, the Wright Brothers, and ladies and gentlemen, Gandhi.
Can't cancel the Wright Brothers and Gandhi?
Apparently they have been, at least for Reddit.com. Kim Kardashian has added someone to the don't enter my house and you're stalking me list.
If you know how I feel, why would you say that?
Like, by the way,
why would you say that?
This finale of theirs has spread across an entire week.
Oh, it's still going?
It was like, I remember talking about in the beginning of the week on the BoobTube was the series finale, but they've been doing like a reunion special with Andy
Andy Cohen from Bravo.
I was called Andy Bravo, but that's basically what he is. So when she's not ending Keeping Up with the Kardashians, she's getting temporary restraining orders against a man who, and tell me where he did something wrong here, he gave her a diamond ring and Plan B.
I mean, that seems kind of nice.
Problem with that, right?
One is a good safekeeping thing to have, and the other one is a diamond ring.
Stay away order requires a person identified as Nicholas Costanza, I don't know if he's related to George, to remain 100 feet apart from the Keeping Up with the Kardashians star. Paperwork also prohibits Costanza from contacting the Kardashians. A package containing the ring and Plan B allegedly sent to the Kardashians this month, and security officials were able to stop the package, but they didn't stop him from arriving uninvited previously and then saying, oh, hey, how about you peep this? A false marriage certificate that he posted online as well. He also said he was going to take Kim out to dinner. What's the big deal? He did not immediately respond to Daily News for a request for comment, but I'm sure he's wanting his diamond ring and or Plan B back. In the meantime, Kim Kardashian is going into this world. Dance on
to the rhythm of the honky-tonk. Country music?
No.
Honky-tonk? Red nose on
your car. Right?
Clown world?
And let's
stonk.
Stonk?
Oh, I couldn't barely hear it.
I don't know. It's the only Stonk song available on the internet, and I'm pretty sure they weren't singing about Stonk in the way that I'm referring to it. Stocks, cryptocurrency, all the money that you can't physically hold in your hand, but for some reason is running the world. Kim Kardashian had a pretty, bless you, unusual question for the millions of Instagram followers that she has. Are you guys into crypto?
Mm-hmm.
This is not a financial advice, but sharing what my friends just told me about Ethereum Max Token.
Oh, please, man. Did she really start that with this is not financial advice, but my friends were talking about this?
Yeah. Because 100%.
I mean, it's everybody knows it's an ad, right? Like, it was labeled an ad. But when you're starting it so conversational, like, oh, my friends just told... Your friends who work at the cryptocurrency company?
Your friends who signed a nice paycheck for this?
Yeah, you probably made $1 million.
They're saying now she usually charges between $300,000 and $500,000 per sponsored Instagram post. We don't know what it is for this one because it was an Instagram story that disappeared after 24 hours. But the internet did its digging, and turns out Ethereum Max and this video declaring that she had big news was all part of the big paid advertisement with her buddy named David Groopman.
Oh, Groopman, yeah. He's
you know great. The Groot dog, right? Uh-huh. Grootmeister.
Love him.
It's hard, heart of a head scratcher, is what the kids say.
Who says
head scratching, but then a heart of a one. I mean, it's so hard, your scalp's bleeding a little bit.
I haven't hung out with the youngins yet. So
Groopman, he's the nightlife king in Miami. He runs Groot Hospitality.
Yeah.
Liv and Komodo and Story and Poppy Steak. One of the hottest spots in Miami is Poppy Steak.
You know what all those sound like to me? Yes. Like that's exactly what they sound like.
From, what's his name? Stefan?
Yeah, Stefan from SNL, where he's like, there's a brand new club. It's called Twinkle Toes. And then he gives you the reason why.
Apparently, this Groot guy has been able to get Floyd Mayweather, like, I guess the night of the Paul fight, Logan Paul or whatever stupid Paul that he fought. He had the shirt on and he's promoting it. I will throw this out there. This is a 3-page story from whocares.com. It's calling itself Culture Token. Financial advisors say stay away from it. Like, the website all just screams and bleeds. We don't know what we're doing, but good luck out there.
Man, they make so much money, some of these people. And I'm amazed at that. Was just an Instagram story, and it was probably hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I'm extremely curious how much money they will be making, but you wanted it, and you're getting it after a really, really, really long time. Wait for it.
Oh, the Backstreet Boys
happening?
And NSYNC.
Backsync, to be exact. AJ McLean, he took to TikTok over the week, a short video that showed him sitting at a table alongside Nick Carter.
Yeah.
He's part of the Backstreet Boys. Lance Bass.
This is just kind of sad.
Part of NSYNC. Super sad.
They're all old.
Do you feel sad about this?
All right. So, there's that guy. And then there's that guy. And there's that guy. So this is a video for the rest of our bandmates. I just don't want anyone to be upset, so...
This is the other bandmates not there. Justin, J.C. Chazet, Chris Kirkpatrick, Brian, Howie, Kevin.
So a lot of the bigger names.
I was hanging with the fellas, working with a brand new band. Don't be jealous.
This is like the new Jackass.
Excuse
it's like you're
me?
Too old.
Sing. Okay, but I'm still down. They just hosted a bingo night over in L.A. It was... I believe Joey, Lance Bass, and AJ all got together in L.A., and now they're going to put out a song. The last time that Backstreet Boys had anything out was DNA in 2019. The last time NSYNC had anything out was 20 years ago.
Wow.
2001 Celebrity. But I ship it, and I look forward to it on the boob tube. It doesn't matter. Just follow your dreams. And me on Instagram, at Sabrina Ambra. And most importantly, stay with me, America.
Smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. When we come back... Uh-oh, have you been preparing? Are you ready? How many humdingers are you looking at? Are you?
Do you have a different
currency?
I'm still calculating the amount of space bucks.
So many dingers.
And a humdinger conversion.
All right, we'll see how this all goes, because guess what? Real.
filling you in on the shocking details. Just try not to pass out. This is the News Junkie.
This week in Florida, a roundup of all the craziest, most ridiculous stories in Florida this week, as the name implies, coming up with C-Lane. And your level of confidence high today?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Good, right? And high.
Good, good. High confidence this week in Florida's are the best. And I hope we didn't use too many of your stories before we got to this segment. Because
there was a
happens.
Few, but, you know, it's okay. I found some real heavy hitters.
All right, well, you ready to get into this?
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's do This Week in Florida.
Giving you a recap of the most groan-worthy stories in the state. It's This Week in Florida.
That's right. It is the weekend. It's time to take a trip around the Sunshine State and see some of the craziness that has gone on in the past 7 days or so. And, of course, we find ourselves smack dab this week in the middle of what month?
In the middle. June?
June. But
oh,
yeah.
Pride Month.
Pride Month.
Oh,
sorry.
Thought that was a trick question, but
no.
Still got it wrong.
Well, you were correct both times. It is June and it is Pride Month, and there has been a back and forth politics-wise in Florida, that because everything has to have a gate at the end. This one is Bridgegate.
Okay.
And this started in Jacksonville. It may not be Florida's version of Bridgegate, but a dust-up over the use of rainbow-colored lights for Pride Month on a Jacksonville bridge spilled over into denials on the part of Governor Ron DeSantis and pointed fingers on the part of Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried.
Yeah, she's running for some office soon.
Yeah, so she's probably trying to get herself out there when she's running for
it out.
By the way, this was just a part of like a roundup story,
mm-hmm.
And it starts with "Hello and welcome to Thursday."
Oh wow, they stole your line.
Well, he's not using it anymore. Began when local officials in Jacksonville chose to light up a local bridge, which is very common. I think in Orlando, the 408 mm-hmm. has a bunch of stuff that they change colors for.
It's sort of like how the Empire State Building they light up for different things.
A lot of the arenas do that, mm-hmm. and they lit up a local bridge in honor of Pride Month, and state transportation officials intervened, saying the lights violated certain permits, and they were switched back to blue a few weeks ago on a Tuesday night. The decision was...
What? I'm sorry, and the big deal?
There was some permit violation.
How is it that there's other cities that are able to do it, but then you have to have a permit for lighting after that? So interesting. You would think like there was a lot of major cities doing it. It's weird to hear one that had a problem with it as if they did not know.
What's the story say?
Well, the decision was seen as a slap to the LGBTQ community by the DeSantis administration, given that the governor signed a bill banning transgender girls and women from participating in girls and women's sports on the first day of Pride Month. Mm-hmm. He also vetoed money for those affected by the shooting at Pulse nightclub just days before the 5-year anniversary. But the governor's office insisted they had nothing to do with nixing the rainbow lights. He was not involved in the decision, and he says it's absurd to think otherwise.
Yeah, I guess FDOT turned this down like 2 years in a row?
They must have. It said state transportation officials. That's the only organization I could think of. A couple nights later, the lights were back to their rainbow scheme, and there were several complaints about the lights, which leads the transportation department to point out the scheme violated permit terms, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people were taking this as a DeSantis move. The buck stops there, seeing as the state also denied a request to use rainbow lights on a bridge in Sarasota. Fried wrote a letter to DeSantis asking both about the Jacksonville and Sarasota decisions and the decision by the state to deny her request to light up the state capitol orange in honor of gun violence victims. This guy just doesn't like lights. Turn them all off. That's the narrative they're trying to push here. Fried wrote in a sharply worded letter to the governor, "You may not choose to recognize that your administration's homophobic, transphobic actions exacerbate the discrimination of the community continues to face, just as you chose to ignore the nearly 3,000 gun deaths that occur in Florida each year." So she's going for the DeSantis juggler right there.
Politics.
Yes. There was a woman that was being held captive in her home by a by an entity that makes its way into This Week in Florida whole lot.
Yeah, now I'm starting to get scared. What the hell happened?
Immediately thought husband, boyfriend, maybe a stepdad.
No. This is a frequent offender in This Week in Florida, or just a frequent appearer. And that would be not a person, not a group of persons, but an animal.
Ooh.
The animal that is most Florida.
Alligator.
Raccoon. Oh, alligator.
Yes,
obviously.
That's right. They had doorbell cam shows an alligator who was just kind of chilling at the front door, keeping this woman in her house for what she said hours. In the dead of night, an adult alligator walked right up to the front door of resident Stephen Farkas.
Mr. Farkas.
That's a man, not a woman. My bad. Hey, now, there's a gator at the front door at 4:30 a.m. That wasn't expected, Farkas said in an interview with local station WFLA. He appears to knock at the door, according to Farkas. The alligator wandered off, but it returned within a few minutes to resume its original post. Do you have the video there?
Yeah, this is him. I just got like a snapshot, I think. That's a huge gator,
too. That's a pretty big one.
Unless this camera is really throwing me off.
Do they get the size in the report?
I don't see it here.
I have personally laid down next to what was not alive, unfortunately, a 12-foot gator.
Oh, this is not that big, but it's at least like 7 feet, I think.
But it wandered off and then came back a few minutes later. They said posting up at the front door, wanted to be let in, it seemed like, especially if it were knocking.
If you had a video of that alligator actually knocking on the door, you're viral immediately.
Absolutely. Also, it is something that everybody's watching. Storm season's coming up, and it has been particularly rainy the past few days.
Mm-hmm.
But over in Broward County on I-75, a driver had quite the scare when lightning hit his car while he was driving down the highway.
I thought that didn't happen.
No, I mean, it can happen.
What kind of car, though? Because haven't you guys heard that before, that lightning won't strike because the rubber in the tires or something like that? So now we know it's totally possible.
Well, here's the thing. That's something we all heard growing
Congratulations,
up.
Congratulations, Elaine. You just added brand new anxiety to Sabrina's list.
But is this a real thing or no? Did it actually get struck?
Yes. Strike hit the antenna portion of a Nissan Comet, causing damage to the car's electrical system. And left a 7-foot mark on the interstate.
What?
No one was injured in the incident. The driver said, I saw a light and I don't know what happened. Wow, what is this? But I survived. I'm alive and it is a miracle for me.
Nissan Rogue.
And now,
note.
Off to a special one-off segment within a segment, which I like to call This Week in Florida Chicken Crime.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry.
That's you, Sean.
I got you. Here's your chicken song.
Oh, from TikTok.
This one blows up right here, too.
All right. First off, This Week in Florida Chicken Crimes. A brotherly argument over some chicken turned violent Monday evening when a Florida man allegedly threw a knife at his sibling.
Oh, you can't do that.
The airborne weapon got stuck in the victim's right leg. Messiah Harris Smith, 19 years old, facing felony aggravated battery charge in connection with the June 14th incident at his family's St. Petersburg residence. He told police
that's a song.
Not want his brother prosecuted. He'll need to receive stitches. And does not further describe the chicken argument, but it was indeed an argument over chicken. And last but not least, in the Chicken Crimes edition, Sean, hit it!
Chicken ring.
Woo! Ah, macaroni, chilling with my homies.
Woo! A woman is facing a domestic battery charge after allegedly pelting her boyfriend in the face and chest with a plate of chicken. Jennifer Booth, 43 years old, struck the 56-year-old victim with the chicken while the couple was eating last Wednesday night on the porch of their Bradenton home. Booth's companion, who cooked the dinner, was not injured by the poultry fusillade.
What?
Excuse me?
Oh, is that like a spread?
Fusillade? I think it was the attack.
Fusillade.
F-U-S-I-L-L-A-D-E. He told police Booth became violent during a verbal argument and picked up the paper plate of chicken.
A series of shots fired or missiles thrown all at the same time.
Ah!
Word of the day calendar
Nothing
stuff, man.
Nothing to do with food, but
A series of poultry shots fired. A man called 911. Booth was arrested, booked into the Manatee County Jail on the misdemeanor rap. She was released Friday on a $500 bond. And that's it for this probably last time ever This Week in Florida Chicken Crime.
All right.
Thank
you. One more time. Three.
I had to do it one more time.
Two. Get that bass ready, boy.
Chicken wing, kingdom macaroni. Chilling with my homie.
Okay. That's such a catchy song.
It is, and it's going to be in your head for a while. Over to Tampa, where in Tampa and the surrounding area, there are two people facing some tough times. One is doing it in a sort of creative, educational way. The other, not so much. We'll start with the bad news. In Tampa, Crime Stoppers of Tampa Bay says one person may be behind seven separate thefts of Ronald McDonald House charity boxes
okay.
at McDonald's.
That's pretty low.
Originating in May 26th. It's pretty low and also doesn't seem very fruitful because when was the last time you, A, went to McDonald's? For me, it's this morning. B, paid cash at McDonald's, and I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Can't say.
And so, I mean, you would toss some money in the box. Usually, if it's you have some change that you don't want to put in your pocket or your little change bucket or whatever, and you just throw a couple in there, you can't be getting a whole lot of money.
No, I wouldn't think so.
They say Dustin Portillo of the Caspers Company, the owner of 60 franchises in Tampa Bay, says the thief who was doing this is not stealing from McDonald's. He's stealing from a 9-year-old kid who's going through leukemia treatment.
Oh, my God.
Really, really trying to tug at the heartstrings.
And I hope it makes you feel like crap.
There was surveillance.
Tell him, boss.
From June 10th in Wesley Chapel showing the unnamed suspect having a meal, casing the place, and then making several trips to break the security device, keeping the box in place. He put it under his jacket, walked out, and used his motorcycle to pick it up and drive off. And in Pasco County, maybe if you're under hard times and you need some creative ways to keep your family fed, there's a Spring Hill man that is using his YouTube channel to teach thousands of followers how to turn their yards into food forests.
All right, I'm listening, and I'm ready to learn.
He's talking about edible landscaping.
I'm not listening anymore. I'm never going to be able to make something
what
cool
hippie
enough.
Crap is this?
Just go in the backyard and it's straight up Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Have you seen those like weird, I don't know what to call it. I want to say furries, but they don't wear anything, but they run like animals. Like there's internet people that can move their bodies like animals.
No.
And I imagine this is the type of story they would love to hear.
Okay.
Look it up. I'm human running like animal.
I don't know if I'm going to find it, though. All right, here we go.
I'll send you the link.
So this guy says, by edible landscaping, when I figured that you could actually plant things you could eat, it was like somebody turned on the lights for me. I've been planting plants for a long time, and that just made no sense. You know, things that we just prune just to look at. We started diversifying with things that you could eat, from edible flowers to edible fruits. I think basically this guy's just teaching you to make a garden. I don't know about this term edible landscaping. Seems like Sabrina said, kind of hippie-ish to me.
This is what you're talking about? This is just people that just...
Did you pick the first one that said animal movement quadruped run?
No.
All right, I'm sending that to you now.
It's probably quadruped. I see.
Why do I suck at reading English words today?
Hold on.
This man went from regular walking, I just sent it to you, started at 11 seconds, regular walking into running like an actual... Like cheetah or antelope?
Ceiling's running out of time. I got it here for you, though.
We'll do it next segment when we...
Okay. Yeah, it's very weird.
And to round up this week in Florida, well, you guys... Well, oh, my gosh, that is...
Right? Did you show the people?
Man running like an animal.
I mean, come on.
There is a toddler hospitalized after swallowing 16 magnetic balls. Stop putting these in schools. That's where they got it from. Great-grandmother arrested after her 10-year-old crashes her car.
Oh, no.
A Miami Bitcoin gathering was a hotspot for crypto advice and sweet, sweet COVID. And last but not least, a Clearwater sex offender arrested for being naked on the beach said he had permission to do so. Officer, thank you very much. That's it for this week in Florida.
Thank you, C-Lane. Well, did he have permission? Was he accurate?
That's a no.
Would you guys ever go to a nude beach?
And be nude at it?
Yeah, yeah. Would you ever, would you go to a nude beach? And let me put a fine point on this. You're in this situation, you're going like to Miami, like it's not like a radio thing, nobody else is around you, it's just you and yours. And...
Okay, see, but that's the difference. So, I've been to a nude beach already. I was not nude there. I will say I would go to a nude beach again if I were to take my top off. It is after surveying at least the half-mile radius around me.
Can I tell you, I burn so easily anyway, so
your poor penis.
I would be really worried.
It would be a burnt turkey.
Just like,
no thank you.
Fruit roll up looking genitals after I was out there for too long. I would not want to face whatever that looked like in the morning.
It's like, you know, you left the little Smokies on the grill for too long.
That's bad. Okay, we're going to switch in a different direction entirely.
You sure?
And to somebody who was on the show for quite some time, and we haven't heard from in a while, Slick, who, those of you who are longtime fans of the show will remember, he's going to join us. He's got something going on this weekend that he wants to promote, and some very interesting stories to share. And he's coming up next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You know you can always text us.
Unless you're driving.
At 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and OrangeBuickGMC.com. We are professional grade.
Real, real,
if you're not confused, you are not paying attention. This is the News Junkie.
A guy we haven't talked to in far too long.
So beautiful since the day we parted ways.
The folks who have been listening to the show for a real long time are going to recognize Slick right away. How you doing, ma'am?
What's up? What's up? What's up? How's my peoples doing?
Very good.
Missing you, man. It's great to see your face and welcome back. How long has it been since we've talked to Slick? Truly,
a while. I think on the main show. He was on secret shows one time a long time ago. And Slick is also DJ Livewire, which is probably a name you know him better as, and a really impressive guy who's done a bunch of amazing stuff. And many of you got to know him through being on the show. And you reached out to me this morning and you sent me this insane story, Slick. And I mean, it's just wild to think. So explain to me what the hell's going on here. What happened in this story?
Okay, so I'm getting a little bit of feedback. It might be the radio feed coming in my ear, but okay. I'm going to do it anyway. But so here's the thing. So somebody, yeah, I'm like hearing a feedback.
Are you hearing yourself back?
But yeah, I'm getting like, I'm hearing what I'm saying like seconds later. But anyways, I'm going to ignore it.
Yeah, ignore it. Go through it. So, we hear you perfectly fine.
Okay, fine. So basically, somebody very close to me is going through something very traumatic, as well as her family. Her name is Joanne Celestin. Her brother, Samuel Celestin, was killed by the Ocoee police. They've been fighting for 2 years in order to get this body cam video released, and they fought tooth and nail. And finally got it released, and they were able to see what happened. The family called the police so that they could come out and you know, pick him up because he was having a mental health emergency.
So they wanted to big react him, essentially.
Yes. And they alerted the police of what was going on. They told the police, hey, when you get here, and it's on the body cam video if you want to check the link or even if you guys want to repost the link.
Mm-hmm.
And so they basically told the police, hey, he's having an episode. We need you guys to kind of come and help, you know, bring whatever mental health specialist that you have in order to address the issue. Instead, they show up. They use excessive force. They tase them repeatedly, even though he was complying. They tased them repeatedly. They hogtied him, which is illegal in the state of Florida. They hogtied him anyway, and he ended up dying from asphyxia. So the story is very similar to the George Floyd story in the sense of they used excessive force until he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're doing now is tomorrow we're going to have a Juneteenth, we're going to have a Juneteenth assembly in front of the Ocoee police station.
Okay.
And this is going to be from 11 to 3. We're going to have a special presentation at 2 p.m. and it'll include statements by Samuel Celestin's family and the attorney, Jeremy Markman. We want to get everybody to come out and support this event. And we want to get everybody to come out and mostly just have your voices be heard. Because this is important. Guys, you guys are my family. We've known each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if I was to come on to this show and speak about anything like this, I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
This is a serious issue that the Black community has been dealing with for a very, very, very long time. And the city of Ocoee has a past that shows a trend of racism when it comes to the police department. And so this is important. We need to address this. And we need to put this out there for people to come out and support.
So I think we might have had the audio fixed a little bit. Hopefully it is. I don't know if it's still doing it to you, Slick, but let's try to walk through this a little bit. So before we get back to the details on tomorrow and everything that's going on, what took so long for the body cam footage to be released? Why did it take 2 years for the Ocoee police to release that footage? It seems like they knew something on there wasn't great and they didn't want it to be released. What were they saying?
Well, from my understanding, they didn't want to release the video. They just wanted to basically close the case. The family had been petitioning to get this body cam release for 2 years now, and they would not allow it. I think they knew that the evidence on that tape was incriminating towards their police officers, and so that they wanted to protect the police officers. But thanks to Jeremy Markman, who did an outstanding job, he got the judge to go ahead and release that tape. And because they released the tape, that's how the family was able to gain some sort of sense of what actually happened that day, because they weren't able to see it and they had no idea what the police did. Furthermore, I just want to note that once Sam passed away, they didn't get with the family until hours after this happened to even alert them or make them aware that he had passed away. The whole time they thought he was at the hospital seeking medical attention.
Oh, wow.
And the whole time he had already passed away and he never said a word.
Yeah. One of the things that's interesting about this, reading into this, Slick, is a lot of times when a story like this comes out and people say this was an overreaction or even like, you know, murderous act on behalf of the police, a lot of times people move too quickly, right? And the story will come out in some crazy video and then eventually it comes out that it wasn't what people initially thought. But in this case, it looks like there was no big push to go out there and call huge attention to this. This has been 2 years trying to fight for the video. And then when you see the video and you actually do have the full story and you have the evidence, you have the information, then you're taking that out to the streets to try to bring some attention to the cause. So for everybody who always says there's like knee-jerk reactions to this, this is the exact opposite of that. Am I reading that right?
Absolutely. I mean, just to give you some context, we're talking about a family here who are upstanding citizens, taxpaying citizens. Joanne herself is a nurse practitioner, works in urgent care. She's used to helping people. This is what she does on a day-to-day basis. Her mother, Marie, is a physician for the VA hospital.
Mm-hmm.
She's used to helping people on a day-to-day basis. This family has a history of public service. And so for them to call this police department to come and assist them, this is their job. This is what they're supposed to be doing. And for them to call the police department and then they show up and essentially murder their loved one, I think this is egregious. And I think that it definitely needs the attention it deserves. The family has been trying to handle this kind of in the background and kind of trying to get things to go, you know, try to, you know, respect due process. But I think we're now at the point where people need to understand that these things are still going on right in our backyard.
Completely makes sense. I want to say, you know, as far as the family goes, and I'm reading their statement with that they've released and the deviation they said from the standard mental health intervention that they wanted and needed with the confusion and paranoia that was going on with the victim. It's not only something that needs attention, but it's a dangerous thing. It pains me to hear that it's taken 2 years for them to say anything, and I can't imagine what those 2 years have been, like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, out of curiosity, with the 2 year waiting for the body cam footage, at what point in the 2 years did the family get a lawyer involved, and then how long after that, like, did that expedite the process, or did it still drag on?
Well, here's what's interesting about that. It actually took a while for them to find representation.
Oh, wow.
No one wanted to go up against the police department. No one. And so Jeremy Markman is the guy that actually had, you know, he actually had the courage to come forward and actually represent the family, because no one else would. And the police station was, I don't know if it's an intimidation thing, but I think they were trying to bury this story and hopefully the family would just go away and then they wouldn't be in danger of having to release that tape. But now that they've had it released, they're doing a lot of damage control now.
Yeah. Well, real quick, for everybody who's just tuning in or confused, let me tell you what's going on here. Let me set the stage just a little bit, and then we'll get back to Slick, and then he can, you know, tell us what's going on this weekend, because it's a very wild case. It's a 33-year-old, and this is your girlfriend's, this was your girlfriend's brother, correct, Slick?
Correct.
Okay, so that's Sam, 33-year-old. He died after being tased at least four times by Ocoee police officers. This is according to WFTV. The officers were responding to his mother's home for a domestic disturbance in April of 2019. His mother and sister were not frantic during the call with dispatchers, nor when officers arrived on the scene. Sam had punched both women in the face. They said they knew it was a symptom of somebody suffering from schizophrenia and bipolar affective disorder and off his medication. So they reiterated to the police, you know, what was going on here, and this was a mental health issue. Sam, she said, was upset over his cell phone, but was rambling about being poisoned by the water. She recalled how he purchased products in bulk from the store, which she thought was unusual. So when the Ocoee police officers arrived, Rosemarie and her daughter, Joanne, were sitting in a gray SUV near the home. Both women who work in the medical field were familiar with the resources available to help Sam because they Baker acted in before. So the first responding officer is seen on this body camera that it took 2 years to release. 2 years to release this. And you see the officer approaching the SUV. Officer immediately asks about Rosemarie and Joanne's injuries. In the body camera video, you hear the two women calmly dismiss the battery that prompted the police response. Then this escalates, and they say when the Ocoee officer and his partner approached the home, Sam opened the front door with a remote control and a kitchen knife in his hand. His family believes officers should have known something was off based on the unusual question he asked. Then there was chaos, and they started tasing him, and they tased him at least four times. And then moments later, the officers start to panic because they realize he didn't have a pulse, and he was pronounced dead at a local hospital.
Mean, it's an insane story. Reading all those details, it's kind of just like you put it all out there, and then why are we finding ourselves here? So you're having people come together tomorrow. Those that cannot make it, what can they do to help with the situation? What are you looking for as this journey that you didn't need to be on starts?
Right now, what I would really like, if people can come out, we really need to hear, you know, have your voices out there. We need to really put pressure on the police department. We need to put pressure on the DA to charge these officers. What we really, really want, we want to demand that the state attorney, Monique Worrell, reopen the case against the officers. Mm-hmm. We want to demand that the officers involved in Samuel Celestin's death be criminally charged. And we want to demand legislation that requires additional considerations when police respond to calls related to mental illness. Meaning, when police respond to calls like this, they should have a mental illness professional on site to help deal with the individual who prompted the call.
Right. What have the attorneys said after the release of this body cam footage, too, Slick? Do they have hopes that there might be some reopening of the case? Because to me, that's pretty, there's people who are looking at the video right now. We'll share the video later as well. And they're saying the video is an absolute trip. It's insane to watch. And I think it could, you know, change some minds when they see that. But are the attorneys, after getting this video, telling you that there's some chance that this gets opened back up?
We're optimistic. We believe that it will happen. We believe that there will be justice for Sam.
When you
we
said,
believe that we you, believe that that we're gonna get a lot of eyes on this. You know, shout out to Channel 9, WFTV, because mm-hmm. they were the first to really report this. But we feel that we'll get a lot of eyes on this, and we feel that we will get justice eventually.
When you said you want the case reopened, I'm assuming that there was some sort of investigation that's been since closed. Was that closed before the body cam footage was released, or was that something that they kind of reviewed internally and made a decision without showing anybody else what happened?
Yeah, they closed that investigation a long time ago. And they wanted to close it before showing that body cam footage because they knew that there was going to be a lot of skepticism in how the police handled this situation. Oh. That's what I firmly believe. Mm-hmm. They wanted to kind of get this out of the way and never have to deal with it. But I'm sorry, you're going to have to deal with it. We've all seen it now. We all know what happened. And there's a lot of areas for criticism while watching that tape. They definitely did not handle this in the correct manner, and they have to deal with this now.
Yeah, a couple of things real quick. Number one, before we tell everybody again where they can meet up this weekend, let us know, Slick, anything moving forward that we can do to help bring attention to it. We're glad to do it, and I think it's just pretty stunning, the body cam footage that you guys had to fight 2 years to get released, which is a sin on in and of itself. But so we can also probably connect you to our real good friend Amy Caulfield over at Fox 35 to spread the word even more. And we're glad to do that as much as we possibly can. So do not be afraid to reach out and talk to us about what's going on with the case. But people who are hearing this who are like, man, this is absolutely crazy, and are thinking on this weekend that they'd like to take part, where again is it, and what can they do? What should they bring? All that stuff.
It's going to be tomorrow at the Ocoee Police Department at 646 Ocoee Commerce Parkway, Ocoee, Florida, 34761, between the hours of 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. I really encourage you guys to come out and try to help us seek justice. It would be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated. And speaking of greatly appreciated, Sean, Sabrina, C-Lane, I really appreciate you guys. You know, we're family, and I so much appreciate you guys allowing me this platform in order to speak on this issue. I know it's a hard thing because Sean is such a big sports fan. He'd rather be talking about Game 7 of the Brooklyn Nets.
Exactly.
I know that. But I do
he doesn't know who's in Game 7.
Platform.
Yeah.
Of course, and it's like, you know, you are also part, I mean, you're always welcome here. I think that's easily for me to say, and on behalf of all of us here, we're part of the beginning of this thing. It's crazy to think we're about to celebrate 8 years, and we know, like you said in the beginning, that if you're reaching out to us, that we know that you're passionate about it, because in the 8 years that we've known you, you haven't done something like this. So any way that we can support, I feel like...
Yeah. Yeah,
easily we will.
We'll post the info and some of the other stuff online so people can read up on it more and kind of prepare themselves before this event tomorrow. But, you know, best of luck, Slick. Good on you for fighting for this and getting the word out there. And again, anytime you want to talk, hit us up and we'll bring you right on the show.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there he
love
goes.
You,
oh, good to see him, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Love you.
There he goes, man. Always good to see Slick. He's
so good
absolutely
looking.
Awesome. And DJ Livewire, if you really want to call him by the name, that makes more sense because he's an amazing, very, very accomplished DJ as well and a big part of the show from the early days on. We'll be back in just a moment with our friend Mo DeWitt of the DeWitt Law Firm. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Smart speaker to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
And then tell your smart speaker to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio again.
Someone's always got to mess with it. Filling you in on the shocking details. Just try not to pass out. This is the News Junkie.
Jury duty coming up in just a moment. our friend Mo DeWitt of the DeWitt Law Firm. Hopefully we don't have any technical issues. Who knows? Fingers crossed. We'll see what happens here. Then we'll get to more of your dispatches from the News Junkie app and everything else that's happening in the world. This is worth a shot. Let's give it a try. Are you ready for this, C-Lane?
Sure.
All right. Let's see if all the wires are in the right spot. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Let's welcome Moses DeWitt of the DeWitt Law Firm.
Hey, yes.
There he is, Mo. Can you hear us okay?
Is that you, Uncle Leo?
Yeah, I think so. Mo, you know how this goes around here. We always have lots of built-up questions for you during the week. And when we get some time with our attorney to ask those questions, as weird as they may be, we like to utilize that. We're going to get to that in just a moment. If you're in an accident, you pick up the phone, you dial 866-CALL-MO, 866-CALL-MOE. It's very easy for you to do. And you're just a phone call away after you get into an accident from somebody who's going to know who you are, going to know the details of your case. You're not going to be just another number or another, you know, folder or file somewhere in somebody's office. You are going to be treated like the person you are with your particular case. So 866-CALL-MO is the number. So many of you have called after an accident, and so many have reached out to me and said it was an absolutely pleasant experience. I don't hear that with many other attorneys. So 866-CALL-MO is the absolute best in my very, very not so humble opinion. All right, Moses, we got some questions for you. What do you have over there, C-Lane? Do you have any questions?
Let's see. We talked earlier this week, or maybe last week, because I don't know if we talked to Moses last week.
I don't believe it.
I think he was busy in court.
No, I was at a wedding, actually.
Oh, that's right. He was in Miami.
Law is involved in some form.
Yeah, but we talked about there is reports of celebrities going around having sex with people, but before they do so, you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. And as part of the non-disclosure agreement, you're not allowed to disclose that you signed the aforementioned agreement.
You can see how this is a little confusing, Moses.
I can see that. Is that common in an NDA to be like, you can't even say you signed an NDA? And where does that put you in a line of questioning?
So it's not common, but it's probably a more current practice given you've seen over the years a lot of, you know, people who work for celebrities have done interviews and they'll say, well, I can't answer that. I signed a non-disclosure agreement. So I think, you know, that's probably not looked upon real favorably necessarily, or could have some what's the term I'm looking for here? It has some certain inferences, or, you know, puts ideas in people's heads that they were doing something wrong.
Okay.
So they kind of want to avoid that. So in order to do that, they say you're not even allowed to say that anymore.
So there's like negative connotations just to the idea that you would be involved in this.
Exactly. So by saying you can't say that, all you can say is, you know, I can't disclose that information. You can't actually say that you signed an NDA. You just have to say that.
Can you say I can't legally disclose that information? Because someone prompts you the question, especially in an interview style situation, like whatever you say is going to be played back. So I feel like I would have no other choice to say I cannot comment on that because I've signed something legally. But now I feel like I'm going to be in trouble.
I mean, there you're just kind of saying it without saying it. So I think, you know, you'd have to see the exact terms. But I'm guessing that it probably says something along the lines of you can't even give the inference that you've signed any sort of documentation that would allow you not to disclose information.
Mo,
that's absolutely confidential.
Mo, if you sign an NDA with somebody and you break that NDA, obviously there are some legal ramifications of that. And, you know, maybe they could go after you financially or whatever. But if you break an NDA, can that information that you release still be used against whatever person you're talking about? Like, if I broke an NDA and I had some information that Christopher Dolores Lane committed some sort of crime, would the information be no good since I had signed something saying I wouldn't talk about it to begin with? Or would I just be on the hook for something else, but they would still use the information to pursue charges?
In most cases, they could still use the information to pursue charges. You would just be opening yourself up to damages. And most NDA agreements have a liquidated damages clause that basically says if you violate it, you automatically owe X amount of dollars. And the purpose for that is, you know, when it comes to someone's reputation, trying to value the damage that's been caused can be very difficult. So they do what we call liquidated damages, where they basically say everybody agrees this is the amount that you pay if you violate it.
Well, in Sean's scenario, he's talking about me committing a crime. Wouldn't that invalidate the NDA? Because can't the contract not protect a crime?
So that gets to a pretty complex analysis there, but there are circumstances where, yeah, if it's protecting a crime, then you still have an obligation to disclose the information.
Like, to circle back to the celebrity part, if I sign an NDA that said I wouldn't talk about having sex with a celebrity, and then they did something that I didn't want, you know, that was maybe I said, no, I want to stop this, and they kept going, and now it's a sexual assault. Well, then the NDA is completely useless now. It's out the window, correct?
Right. You can't have a contract that allows for some sort of criminal activity. So if the contract itself is basically allowing for, you know, exactly what you described, then it's basically trying to encourage criminal activity. And we've seen this before. Believe it or not, there used to be, you know, prenuptial agreements that would say, okay, the wife is going to be paid X amount of dollars per month, and she has to sleep with the husband X amount of times per month. And the courts have said, no, that's prostitution.
Yeah.
You can't put that in a contract. So same thing would apply. You can't have contracts that have provisions that are just illegal.
So for the record, Moses, Ceiling can't say it because of an NDA, but he did have sex years ago with Anna Kendrick. He just is not allowed to disclose this.
I wish.
You would break the NDA just to get that out there.
What's my liquidated damages?
What else do we have on the list, Ceylan?
There was a comedian who kind of drummed up an old video for all the TikTok space bucks and likes and whatever. And it showed him connecting. His neighbors played their Bluetooth speaker way too loud, and you could hear it from upstairs. And he connected to their Bluetooth and instead played them a song, told them, turn your effing music down. Your music's way too loud. Mm-hmm. It was to the tune of a famous song. But there was this guy, Matt O'Brien, and Sean was curious if it would somehow break some sort of computer or digital trespassing law to just connect to your neighbor's Bluetooth without permission.
Well, how would he connect without? Don't you have to usually put in a code? I guess you don't on a speaker, do you?
Usually the code, the codes are never used, and the default code is 0000.
Yeah. I don't, you know, offhand, I can't think of anything that would be necessarily illegal about that. I'm sure there could be some obscure provision that might be able to, you know, find some criminal activity on it. I can't think of anything offhand. I remember a couple of years ago, you guys were showing some thing where people were logging into security cameras that way.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, including us. Yeah, we did that too.
Yeah, and I think there was even a law firm in town that you logged into or something. Wasn't us.
Yeah,
somebody else. I'd have to think about that one. I have to think if there's any privacy laws that are being violated there.
Yeah, it's just a weird story that ended up happening this week. And this is what we do to Mo all week. We find the most esoteric, obscure legal things.
And he still wants to represent us, so thank you.
Yeah, somehow, some way. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us, Moses. We always appreciate you giving us your time.
Anytime.
All right, there
hopefully soon I can swing by the garage there.
Yeah, do it. Do,
or
it,
as you call it, a studio.
Mo DeWitt at the DeWitt Law Firm.
Mo.
And we will talk to you next week, Moses. We're going to have a nice, big, long segment next week. So if anybody has any legal questions, if you send them now to tipsatthenewsjunkie.com, I will make sure I collect them, and then we'll ask them next week. So thanks again, Mo. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Have a good one, guys.
All right, there he goes. And we're back in just a moment with the greatest story in the world. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Broadcasting live from the personal injury law firm of Kaufman & Lind Studio. Car accidents, other injuries, call #546 from your cell or visit whenyouneedus.com. You're listening to WTKS-FM HD1 Cocoa Beach, Orlando. Available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. Storytime with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie.
And the weekend is on. Thanks for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. Streaming, as always, on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. It's at the News Junkie on all of those different platforms. And we're going to get into the greatest story in the world in just a second. But happy Father's Day to everybody.
Oh, happy Father's Day to you. You're the only father on the show.
I gotta tell you, I hate that. I absolutely hate it. Everybody in the chat.
I'm not a father? Me too.
No, everybody on the chat's always like, happy Father's Day, Sean. I'm like, oh, God. I don't identify as a father. I had my son when I was very young, and we have a different situation, I guess. And so there are a lot of great fathers in all of our lives, and to them, truly, happy Father's Day, and we hope all is well, and you have a nice, safe weekend. No matter how nasty it gets, we've got this tropical storm out there, kind of spinning around, trying to make something of itself. And then we got was there a name for it, or just Sahara Dust Storm was what we were calling it, I think.
Sahara Dust Storm has a just solid oomph to it, don't you think?
Well, when that's crashing into a tropical storm, Sahara Dust Tropical Storm, that's bad.
I'm going to name it Sarah. Yeah. Sarah Sahara.
Sarah Sahara rolls off the tongue, though. You could follow all of us on social media. The main pages are me. That's facebook.com/thenewsjunkie, @thenewsjunkie on Twitter and Instagram and all the rest. And Sabrina is available on all these same platforms. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter @SabrinaAmbra. And then on TikTok @SavvyCatCat. Give it a follow.
And over to C Lane. Where can they find you before we jump into the greatest story in the world?
C_Lane on Twitter. Klain86 on Instagram, or Klain407 on TikTok.
Let's get ready to freak out a little bit. Let's do the greatest story in the world.
Hold on, folks, because we're about to do the greatest story in the world.
Man, this freaks me out. I don't know. We've talked in the last couple of weeks about far too many spider stories. And maybe I have like a late onset arachnophobia kind of thing going on.
I'm not a fan.
This is going to get everybody. I guarantee you. This is going to get absolutely everybody. This is a story that happened to a pilot, right? And here's what they say. A Northern Territory pilot has had to work hard to keep his cool after a stowaway dropped onto him from the cockpit ceiling as he was landing a plane. Literally the worst time during a landing. Something is distracting you. This is Nine News in Australia that got this footage.
Oi.
And the Cessna aircraft had been on a scenic flight when they noticed the arachnid, with Mr. Hancock saying the pilot was a little shaken when it dropped. Let's watch this together. Here is the actual footage. Hang on, let me go full screen here so we can get the biggest effect out of this. All right, I'm going to move this back already. I'm going to bring this back for everybody who's watching. So in this Cessna, now it's about to land. Watch this, on the ceiling. That's a huntsman spider. It is absolutely massive. And ready? Right as they're about to land, in the most important moment, it drops right on his lap.
No, no, no.
And that thing is like the size of a Frisbee. Folks. No!
I wish you guys did have the Apple Watch to see at that moment that we watched and listened to it where our BPM was. Because I know mine just shot up so many points.
That is so freaky. I mean,
what do you do? I mean, because if you slap it away, it bites you and it kills you, right?
Also, well, no, I don't think they're
huntsmen
too dangerous.
Are not bad?
They're just huge and scary. But your biggest danger is that you're trying to land the plane. And if I was in a car and this happened, I'd have to tell you, there's about a 75% chance I would get into an accident.
Yeah.
I would be so distracted by a gigantic spider landing on me, I'd forget about driving. I've done this with, like, mosquitoes in the car.
Mosquitoes. Sean, you should not be behind the wheel of a car if that's the mosquito
case. Understand. But if bees, you know, all of a sudden a lizard pops up in your car. One more time, just to take a look at this. It's the size of a Frisbee. They're flying along, and then up. Oh, there we go.
Nah.
Huge, it's like a baseball mitt, and then it crawls to the very front of the Cessna and drops down right on the pilot's lap.
No, thank you.
Some of them are laughing. What is wrong with you people? And the pilot is, of course, trying to like brush it off his crotch, and somehow they managed to land this thing. I would have crashed the plane. I would have absolutely crashed the plane. And here's how big they said this thing was. Let's do the conversion because...
Is it not part of the check there? And they're landing the plane. That means they did the entire trip with it on the plane.
Yeah, it was right there.
If you guys aren't watching live, I'm itching myself for absolutely no reason. And didn't see it at all. How convenient.
So they say at least 6 inches in diameter, but I think it was actually a lot bigger than that. I mean, this is a good-sized thing here.
I want you to know that if it was 1 inch in diameter,
I would still
not be okay.
My reaction would be only slightly different if it was 2 inches wide as a spider or 8 inches wide as a spider. If it's big enough that I could see this thing and it lands on me, I'm going, like I'm on fire. I'm going to try to, get this thing off of my body as best I possibly can.
Do you find yourself in more of a panic when it is a spider or when it is a giant wasp?
God, I think the spider weirds me out more and would just distract me more.
The spider, at least you can track better than the wasp.
Oh, go with that.
The wasp has more movement.
Yeah. Should you swat off a spider, it does have to find ground in order to get back to you. The wasp has wings.
And it's flying around stinging.
And now it's angrier.
Plus, we had a story one time about a motorcycle rider. And this guy on his motorcycle, I believe he got a bee stuck up underneath his, visor or something.
Ugh. I hate this segment.
Yeah. Immediately, I dropped that motorcycle on its side and just started skidding out and a road rash crazy because I wouldn't be able to keep it together.
I just pull over and open the visor, right?
Yeah, but you would have to slow down to be able to pull over to get that thing out of there. It's just immediately distracting, at least for me. So to the pilot flying this thing in Australia, when a giant huntsman spider landed on him as he was trying to land the Cessna, you get the trophy for greatest story in the world today. Congratulations, my friend. Good on you.
I hate flying and giant spiders.
Think Loveless could have landed with a huntsman spider dropping on him?
He wouldn't have said anything. We would have been panicking, and it goes, okay.
Loveless, our pilot who's flown us to the Bahamas before.
And listens to the show.
Yeah, yeah. It's ice in his veins. That huntsman would drop on him and be like, he wouldn't even raise his voice. He would still be calm. There are certain people who are under attack today with the cancel culture mobs heading toward them. They're both very surprising. One is Billie Eilish, the singer, and two different reasons she has for people coming after her. One, and this is so screwed up to me, it brings me back to the Chrissy Teigen, John Lennon thing where people were like, John Legend. How dare John Legend not come out and publicly distance himself from his wife and condemn her statements? Screw you. You would never do that if this was your wife. It's ridiculous to ask somebody that.
And it depends on how much you like your wife.
Billie Eilish's boyfriend posted a bunch of racist stuff when he was a kid, like so many of these other people did, or like a decade ago.
Didn't know she had a boyfriend.
And I think he's 28 or something.
Whoa.
And so he apologized profusely about this. But once again, they're like, how could you associate, guilty by association, Billie Eilish should be canceled. Then she's got more, because the second thing is the 19-year-old is under fire over an allegedly resurfaced TikTok video in which she appears to mock several ethnic accents and utter the Asian slur. It's all bleeped out here. I see C-K, and I think I know what that means. Starts with a C-H. And they said the inflammatory clip was posted by a user on TikTok, has more than 1 million views. So she was mocking Asians and saying an offensive slur about Asians, and they were coming after her for that. And she was just in the news for signing a sweet deal. I'm sure she made some sweet money off of it with Victoria's Secret. And now Megan Rapinoe is in trouble because there was a tweet from her, and she said back in 2011, because this is what we like to do. We like to go a decade back to somebody's tweets when they were much younger. She said, you look like an Asian with those closed eyes, to one of her friends who was in a photograph. And they're saying, ultra-woke soccer star Megan Rapinoe, who once gave a speech saying, this is my charge to everyone, we have to be better, now finds herself in trouble with cancel culture. And so on and on they go. Will they get Eilish? Will they get Rapinoe? They'll probably get neither one of them. They'll probably get distracted by somebody else who tweeted something when they were 14 years old. Real quick, before we get into some of your dispatches here, this is insane. in North Carolina. You guys ever been? I can't believe I've never asked this question. You guys have definitely been to North Carolina.
Yeah. I've been to North Carolina, yes.
Have either you been whitewater rafting?
No.
No. I did a
would you?
A digital one.
No, that doesn't count. Like a real...
I know it doesn't count, but it's worth saying because I've never shared that information before. Never had the opportunity.
Well, would you do the real thing? Like full-on whitewater rafting? Would you, C-Lane?
That'd be cool.
I think I would try it because of the other things we talk about, like cliff diving or skydiving or whatever, this one doesn't seem nearly as bad or as dangerous, but I guess I'm off on that because this story says 3 tubers dead, 2 missing after they went over a dam in North Carolina. A group of people...
Not supposed to do that.
Floating down the river. They said they were at Duke Energy Dam along the Dan River. Let's see if we can find that. Duke Energy Dam that they didn't know.
The Dan Dam.
Yeah, it is. But I want to see a photo
of... Sounds like I'm using Dan's name in vain.
Oh, this is what they went over right here. So this is, I guess, the Duke Energy Dam. And a pretty big drop from top to bottom as they fell over this. Here's another photo, I guess.
Ooh.
And it was enough to do them in. They said 4 injured tubers were hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. And the incident was luckily witnessed by a Duke Energy worker who was able to call 911. It's not uncommon for recreation seekers to float on the river near the dam, but usually people get off their tubes or rafts and walk around the dam, which is marked by signs. Unfortunately, these folks did not, and for some of them, it ended in a bad, bad way. Back in just a moment with, finally, your comments. I've got these dispatches. They're hot. I've been keeping them warm here. And we're going to get into what you think about what's happening in the world next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You know you can always text us.
Unless you're driving.
At 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and OrangeBuickGMC.com. We are professional grade.
From the...
Radio! 104.1!
Beware the chat room. Trust us, you've been warned. This is the News Junkie.
I need it to try. Need it to fall. I need it to love. I'm burning away. I need to never get old.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us. We got a lot to get into still. And if you want to join the show, you have to download the app. You don't have to, but I'd love it if you did. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store right now. You can send what we call a dispatch. That means you get on the radio. You don't have to sit on the phones and wait on hold or any of that crap.
You would wait so long.
Oh, sometimes it would be hours. People were waiting on hold, and then eventually they get mad. And
just
then
to say something stupid.
Yeah, you can say something stupid immediately now. This is what 2021 is all about. So search for The News Junkie in the App Store and send in your dispatch. You could try to take me on. You can compliment me. You can throw me down the stairs verbally. You can say something about Sabrina or C-Lane.
You could take me on, but way less, and I'll cry. Down for compliments might cry, too.
Compliments are always appreciated. It's like tips when you're a busker or something. We'll take them around here. Before we get into any of these dispatches from the News Junkie app, I love the finger-pointing that's going on because we're actually, for once... And this didn't happen for quite some time, but we're for once having a real honest conversation about where COVID-19 actually came from. And what was dismissed as a conspiracy theory for a long time, which, I mean, just immediately made a bunch of sense to anybody who was paying attention, was that COVID-19, which seems to have originated in Wuhan, China, perhaps came from the Wuhan laboratory that had exactly these types of viruses. That was not very far away because it's the Wuhan laboratory.
For a very long time, though, I feel like a good amount of people were under the impression it came from like this meat market, right?
Yep, there's a wet market,
a wet market
in Wuhan that they believed was the source at first.
And then bat poop.
Yeah,
right?
there was like 10 stories about this. It was a bat. Maybe the bat was with a pangolin. Maybe the pangolin and the bat had sex.
And who
knows what the hell was going on?
Can't say pangolin in that voice.
But something had happened here, and it was all natural, right? The problem is they haven't been able to find this naturally in any bats anywhere in China. And the laboratory that is nearby very well could have been the source of this. We don't know just yet. But I mean, it's almost Occam's razor.
You mean the Kung Flu
that it came from there.
Did he come out with a new show? Quick sidebar: Sacha Baron Cohen.
Not that I know of. No.
I thought I saw something on HBO, but I think he might have a project coming up where he does the same thing that he's always done.
So Chinese scientists are now pointing their finger back at America. So they're like, hey, you want to say it came from our lab? Maybe it came from your place. And the story goes like this. Chinese scientists have claimed that coronavirus emerged in parts of America and France way before it was found in Wuhan and have called for the outbreak to be probed as a bioweapon. They say chief epidemiologist of the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Zhang Guang, told the Global Times that the U.S. should be the focus of the research into the origin of the deadly virus. Dr. Guang cited the slow response to testing people during the first stages of the pandemic and alluded the U.S.'s potential capabilities due to the country owning numerous biological laboratories across the globe. So they're basically saying, no, we didn't do it. You did it. You've got these labs, too. Yeah, but our lab is not right next to ground zero for COVID-19. We all remember the strange videos coming out of China. Like, a strange disease is sweeping China. People are walking and just passing out, and video after video would be released. But none of it was taken seriously. Why? Because like everything else, once it got tied to Trump, it became super political. It was, and experts, you would have experts who would go, no, there's nothing to that. We're not considering that, because it was seen as poisonous and too Trump adjacent. And it looks like it could have been the case. But everybody point their fingers wherever they want. I just think there should be an honest investigation into this to figure out where this came from. And if it did come from a laboratory, I don't think that China, and I don't think many people do, think that China would have released this on purpose. It was an accident at the laboratory.
Someone dropped a vial.
Let's try not to have any more vials dropped, right?
It's Corona.
If we can learn something from this, maybe we can stop it from happening again. But everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else. And a Wisconsin grocery store is trying to help all of us out in the meantime.
Go Badgers.
This grocery store is garnering national attention for providing customers with color-coded bracelets to indicate their comfort level with social interaction.
I heard about this. It's like a stoplight party.
It is, yes. You have either a yellow bracelet on, which means that you are elbow bump only, okay?
Okay, all right.
So if you got the yellow bracelet on, you're elbow bump territory. Green, you're good with hugs, high fives, everything.
So if a stranger that you've never seen before sees that you have a green wristband on, they can hug you.
Big ol' hug.
Good to know.
Red, of course, means stay far, far away.
No, thank you.
This person is right now not participating in social interactions.
The yellow is my favorite because they're going to look down. They're going to say, hold on. Now that you've had the wrist, I'm going to bring it back here, put that elbow out for you.
Everybody's going to pick the yellow because there's going to be so much pressure on which one to pick. They'll be like, I don't know, am I green? Am I a little bit red?
I'm going to do my normal awkward thing and fist bump the elbow.
Or just grab the whole thing.
Every time.
I wish there was another color for I only want to hug people that I have hugged before.
Yeah, yeah.
If that's cool.
Is there like
an
orange that says I'm down to touch people, but only if I know them and they know that it's okay to hug me?
And black, I'm going to punch in the face.
If you have an upside down pineapple in your cart, that means just spit in my mouth.
Yeah. You know, that's like it's starting to become a big mainstream thing. The
pineapple
swinger,
in the cart?
The swinger pineapples.
Yeah, if you have a pineapple in your shopping cart, it's supposed to mean that you're a swinger. But
what?
Yeah.
The shopping cart? I was talking about the outside of the house ornament. You're telling me that every time I go to shop and I were to buy a pineapple, I'm putting it out there, I want to swing?
No, there's two different things going on here. There's people who probably accidentally and incidentally purchase pineapples and put them upside down in their shopping cart. And then there's people who do that on purpose to signal to everybody else.
Right, this is a good segment. Good segment for us to clear it, because I would have gone and to the grocery store after this.
And if you buy a container of pineapple that's already pre-cut, it means I want to sleep with you and then chop you up into little pieces.
It's a very direct
What's that message. Upside down? You also consume that.
You don't want to find out. No, you got to stay away from this. Also, I wanted to update you real quick on one more story, because we talked about Chrissy Teigen and how she's had a real terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week. Because she can't stop telling people to go kill themselves when she gets into a Twitter spat with them.
from Twitter. years ago, when Twitter, she was 14, right?
Twitter brings out the worst in her. No, she wasn't 14.
No, I know that.
The Courtney Stodden, who is who she said you should die. Then this other guy came out and he said, yep.
Your hair blonde. She just didn't, you know.
She was mean to me.
Too fast.
And this guy is Michael Costello, and he's from Project Runway. He was a designer for Project Runway, the reality show. And the 38-year-old said, look, she bullied me too, and it drove me to suicide. And now Chrissy Teigen's team claims that those messages were fake. So they're like, I don't know. We can't take too much more of this.
And this is the part where we are done with the story.
Yeah, she has lost a lot of gigs, and she seems like a pretty all-around terrible person. So maybe she's able to crawl back from this. Maybe not. Who the hell knows? But that's the latest. She's saying those screenshots you might have seen are totally fake.
Also, I hate to nitpick here, but you can't say it drove me to suicide if you're still alive.
Yeah, it's a weird move.
Suicidal thoughts.
When some of these people jump in, because remember,
he got called out immediately afterwards, too.
I hate to have to even say this sentence out loud, but
Lindsay Lohan.
Chrissy Teigen threatened Courtney Stodden or wished death upon Courtney Stodden. Then this guy from Project Runway comes out and he's like, yeah, she did that to me, too. And then somebody else goes, yeah, that guy did it to me, too, blaming the guy from Project Runway for also being a bully. And it, like, trickles down eight different ways. Some of these people may just be jumping on board because it's all getting a whole bunch of attention right now, right? There could be some people who literally weren't impacted by this at all, but now all of a sudden are a little bit cloud hungry. That happens whether we want to acknowledge it or not. When we come back, the final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Friday and the week. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Send us a dispatch and join the ranks of the great 5%ers. It's the News Junkie.
Didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Friday. We'll set you off into the weekend and into the Jim Colbert Show, which is coming up next. And we appreciate you hanging out with us all week long on the video side of things. We got some fun stuff coming up next week. We're going to celebrate the drop of these long-awaited UFO files on Fridays. Everybody still on board with this?
Oh, I'm definitely on board. Have you guys thought?
I was looking and doing some research. It's a little hard to find stuff because everything's inflatable. All the costumes are inflatable.
I know. We have to find bigger chairs or maybe, you know, I would hate to stand up for 4 hours, but maybe this is a good opportunity for us to kind of put it out there. Maybe we can dress up as astronauts.
I think we can broaden it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Anything
MIB.
Space-related, alien-related, anything in that zone.
I want to get some dry ice for us and make, like, little bubbly drinks.
All right.
I think that'd be fun.
Okay, I'm in.
That's all I have so far.
So, we're starting out. We got.
Do we have green on the lights here?
Sure. Yeah, we could get that going. Yeah. I mean, we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff going on for the live broadcast on Friday next week as they drop those UFO files. We'll have some fun. We'll do some weird stuff. And you definitely are going to want to be watching if you're over on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. It's going to be a blast next Friday. So do mark that down to be with us. All right, let's go to these final dispatches here. I'm going to squeeze in the first-timer people because we don't have too much time, and there's a whole bunch of them. So here's Scotty. It's his first-ever dispatch.
Hey, Junkies.
Hey.
Scotty G's here. That story with the female cop who had the gun in the interrogation room, aren't they supposed to be securing their weapons before they interrogate a prisoner or a suspect?
Yeah.
Just wondering. Thanks.
I did this for my video yesterday at facebook.com/thenewsjunkiescotty. And if you want to learn more about it, you could check that out. But the law is really weird. So Scotty's talking about this video from earlier today. It's out of Las Vegas. And you have a guy who's cuffed to the table. He's just admitted to killing his 2-year-old child. It's brutal. And he even drew a map to where the body was. When the officers left the room to kind of celebrate that they just got a confession, it all hits him, and he realizes, oh, my God, I can't go back to jail. I don't want to do this, and he starts freaking out. First thing he does, he's only cuffed on one hand, and he's trying to, like, pull his hand through the cuff, even like against the resistance of his skin. He's pulling his hand and he doesn't get out. The police officers, though, see that he's struggling. They come back in and he reaches over and grabs the female officer's weapon like it was easy. He just grabbed it and everybody jumped on him. And luckily, he didn't hurt anybody.
Three adults on him. The female police officer was punching him, trying to have him let go. And then we had the one random guy who was peeking over like, hey, did you get his hand?
Everybody good? Good. No, we're not good. Help. So it was pandemonium in this interrogation room. And the guy got her gun. And thankfully, he wasn't able to hurt himself or hurt the officers, certainly, that were involved in this. And there's a lot of weird rules. Like, a plainclothes officer in Las Vegas in an interrogation room is not allowed to have a weapon on them. But if there's two plainclothes officers in an interrogation room in Las Vegas, they are allowed to have a weapon with them.
In an interrogation room.
Right. In a lot of cases, they aren't, but there's special cases where they do allow them to do this. There's a lot of rules that people don't even think about. With interrogation rooms, guess what? If you're a male police officer, you cannot be in a room, in an interrogation room, alone with a female suspect.
And even if cameras are rolling.
Only if cameras are rolling. And usually they want you to have a clear view window so that other people can see in from the outside.
It's so interesting and there's weird that it's different by state or county or whatever, and that you have no idea of any of these rules until stories come out like this.
But here's the thing. Of all the rules, one said you have to have a properly secured in an approved holster weapon. If that's an approved holster, those holsters are not great.
The way that he did it, because I thought it was two steps, but you could see that he kind of moved it up and was able to out. But
maybe
he was
familiar
like
with it.
Luck of the draw.
It was very, very, very shocking. And if you haven't seen that, go to Facebook.com/thenewsjunkie. Bernsey says, thanks for a week of great shows. Thank you, Bernsey. Thank Ben, Wayne, David, Mama Greaser, everybody who's hanging out. Violet Panther, who's been in there all day and all week, hanging out on Facebook. All you listening, everybody who gets the podcast, we appreciate you. Should I try one more?
God, do it.
These are all first timers, man.
Okay.
Here's Florida Jen with a dispatch.
I've never had a problem with my Apple Watch. I've slammed it. I've fallen down with it. Help me, I can't get up. And never had a problem with my Apple Watch, so I don't know what the hell these people are talking about.
Thank you. One more, JJ May.
The evidence will clearly show that Colonel C. Lane killed Professor Sabrona in the laboratory
with a lip
with a water gun.
Oh.
Wiggle, wiggle. Pop, pop.
Thank you, JJ. We appreciate you as well. Let's do the stories that didn't make the cut. Brought to you by our great friends over at Nation's Trucks. If you want to see the best inventory in the state of Florida, the biggest selection of lifted trucks in the state of Florida, well, there's only one place to go, and that is nationstrucks.com. Check them out right now. And if you're going to get a truck, there's no better place to start your journey. Tokyo athletes have been warned not to use the 160,000 free condoms they've given out because you're not supposed to be that close to one another with the pandemic potential in Japan. Let's see. A suspect and his mother charged in the dragging death of a man in Liberty County, Texas. That's two stories about people tying somebody to the back of their vehicle and driving with them in 1 week. The Foo Fighters are rebranding as the DGs to release a collection of Bee Gees covers.
Nice.
And you know what? That'll do it. We're running out of time. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Friday, June 8th, 2021. Today I Learned sponsored by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away. Today I learned this movie series.
High School Musical?
That's right. Today I learned Zac Efron didn't actually sing in the first High School Musical. His parts were sung by somebody else, Drew Seeley. He had to assure all of the people behind this production, I can actually sing. Please let me have a shot. And then they did, starting out in the second of the series.
Girl I knew in high school made out with Corbin Blue.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was really famous after that first movie.
Beautiful hair.
That was released. Today I learned in the 1980s, Bob Crandall, the head of American Airlines, saved $40,000 a year for the airline by removing just one olive from every dinner salad served to passengers.
Excuse me?
Famously known as one of the cheapest corporate CEOs of all time. Today I learned before this lady.
Marilyn Monroe.
That's right, Marilyn Monroe. Before she was Marilyn Monroe or Norma Jean. Well, I mean, not before she was Norma Jean, but before she was widely known and famous. She was a surfer, and 16mm footage exists that was sold at an auction for a ton of money of her days surfing. And finally, today I learned this lady.
Traffic.
Alanis Morissette.
That's right, Alanis Morissette. And ironic that you're hearing right now, was deemed lyrically questionable to play after 9/11 by American mass media company Clear Channel Communications.
Whoa.
This is that suggested do not playlist that always goes around. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back on Monday after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Jim Colbert Show's coming up next, followed by A Corporate Time with Tom and Dan and Real Laughs. It's all on the way right here on Real Radio.